Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
This is an unbelievably important broadcast today. This transmission is absolutely essential. All the different pieces of the puzzle are now coming together. It hit me like a ton of bricks this morning. It's worse than I have even thought. It is worse and moving quicker than I couldn't even imagine, because we tend to not be able to believe what's actually unfolding in front of us. My friends, Benjamin Netanyahu made a secret trip to Russia. And when I saw the Jerusalem Post headline, Kremlin official confirms Prime Minister's secret trip, I knew that when I read the next paragraphs, it was going to say that that could only mean for a green light to attack Iran. Now, I understand that it's very exciting that a congressman called Obama a liar after Obama called him a liar. Obama said, you guys aren't telling the truth about what's in the bill. And it's so insulting to know what's in the bill, because Obama is clearly the liar, that somebody just couldn't shut up. It's a very small chamber, and the congressman was about 30 feet away, and Obama pointed his finger at him and tried to say, basically, shut up. And then Pelosi and Biden acted all upset about it. But we have Bush being booed, and I support that. That's what happened in our Congress 200 years ago, 150 years ago. Then they had all this decorum. No, it's supposed to be debated and argued out. And if you got a preacher up there on stage lying, you tell him he's a liar. You rebuke him. And if you got Obama, the New World Order puppet up there lying, you tell him he's a liar. Oh, man, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm sorry. The biggest story here is that they may be getting ready to hit Iran. The dollar is falling right now as we speak. And that's why the globalists may use this as a distraction, as a diversion to hit Iran, as the RAND Corporation called for in a document that came out a year ago. Everything is moving geopolitically. Everything is moving politically. Everything is moving economically. Everything is moving militarily. Everything is moving on every single front. The New World Order is trying to get up on its legs right now. It's been grown in the womb of the globalist system. It's been born, and now it's toddling around. You know, it's holding on to the coffee table like a toddler trying to take its first steps. And we have got to shoot it down, discredit it in the info war now like our lives depend on it. Because if that baby gets up on its feet, it's going to grow in the next 10 to 15 years into a killing machine, the likes of which the planet has never seen. Ladies and gentlemen, when I read the AP and the AFP and Reuters yesterday, headline, U.S. Girl Scouts Prepare for War, Pestilence, I already knew this was happening. But to see them openly say they're being trained to spy on neighbors, yes, brownies coming to your door are spies. To have New York Times photos and video of all over the country, the Boy Scouts, the Eagle Scouts, training with M16s to, quote, take on veterans who won't turn their guns in. This is openly being announced. People say, oh, we'll wipe out those 14 and 15-year-olds if they come. In 5 years, they'll be 20 years old. And, of course, you can wipe them out. The globalists don't care. But they're young and dumb and ready to die. And yes, we're going to be facing the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts. This is it. It happened in Russia. It happened in China. It happened in Germany. It happened with Pol Pot. It happened with Fidel Castro. We know what this is. Just like Obama saying, oh, I want to address the kids, and we see what the speech is. It's enlisting them to help him, to work for him. Ladies and gentlemen, this is it. I mean, I can't even believe this is actually happening. I can't believe this is real. It is real. It's really happening. And they want to put us in pits and shoot us in the back of the head. And I'm not going. You understand? Period, scumbag.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Live, ladies and gentlemen, so much is happening. So many tripwires are hitting. So much is developing. So much is happening. And we're fighting on so many fronts here. I guarantee you that they have got all of their personnel, all of their ops in place to stage terror attacks that will dwarf 9/11. Everything is converging right now. The flu, they've got that locked and loaded, ready to use that as a cover for total martial law. It's now admitted mainstream news. Congressmen are coming out and saying it. Mainline talk show hosts can now see it. Because you, the listeners of this show, more than anybody else, deserve the credit. It's a dangerous albatross around my neck to be a prominent leader in this, but as an idea, understanding false flag terrorism, understanding how dangerous it is, how real it is, that is an incredibly positive awakening, an enlightenment, a renaissance of understanding that you have generated, and I salute you. And no matter what happens to me, remember that the idea is bulletproof. So we're going to have a world-exclusive Charlie Sheen video message directly to President Barack Obama that we're going to be playing live when we go live at prisonplanet.tv in the next hour in T-minus 50 minutes. That is one massive front we're fighting on with our limited resources. You are the power if you spread this video viral like you've never spread it before. We will punch it out in the mainstream media. They will pick it up. It will be played. O'Reilly has now taken the bait and is attacking Sheen exactly as we planned. I'll explain it coming up next hour. Charlie Sheen for a full 30-minute interview tomorrow on air with us. There's a lot of things the establishment is doing behind the scenes that I've been asked to not reveal at this time, trying to block any of this news and information coming out of the public, but they've already failed. It has gotten out and gone mega viral thanks to you and Charlie Sheen. That is coming up in the next hour. I'm not talking about it until then because I have all this other key information and key battlefronts to cover. The flu, the economy, the healthcare takeover. Look, the foreign bankers in 1913 paid off the Congress and passed the Federal Reserve Act, and they took control of the issuance of currency and credit. More importantly than just printing up money, they created the fractional reserve system where the banks could buy up assets with fiat given to them by the central bank, private bank. And that's all this is. Bush worked in tandem. Glenn Beck endorsed the banker bailout. Obama went and twisted arms in the Black Caucus. Nancy Pelosi gave him credit for getting it passed on the Democratic side. That's true. The Federal Reserve Chairman of New York, the real federal corporation, the real private corporation masquerading as the Federal Reserve, Geithner was the head of that. Bernanke was in there with Bush. Obama's continued him. They brought it in. Just like in 1913, the bankers had to have the paying mechanism. So they simultaneously in 1913 passed the federal income tax. And as Ronald Reagan's commission showed in 1981 in Congress, not 1 cent of the income tax you pay goes to run anything. The tariffs, the trade, the fees on transportation. That is what funds the federal government. All of the income tax. 100% of it goes to the federal banks through the private Federal Reserve system. And they are federal banks. They're not federal in government, but they are the government. They are federal. They are setting up a global federal government openly owned and run by the new Bank of the World, a consortium of private central banks. It's openly being announced everywhere as the solution to the coming economic meltdown. They've been telling you the economy's fine the last few months, so you'd stand down and go along with the banker bailout takeover and then go along with their plan for a bank of the world in the fall and winter. And they are now on target to try to pull this off. Huh. And so just as they needed the income tax to get into your paycheck in 1913, they now are passing the health care tax. And it says they're going to come into your paycheck and take at least an additional 15 to 22%, depending on what bracket, out of your check. And once that camel's nose, that's a big nose at 15 to 22%. That's the camel halfway in the tent. Once they have that passed in the new federal bureaucracy and the green bureaucracy under the carbon tax, they are going to mafia take over and racketeer every facet of the economy, total federal takeover of the states, the local cities. So they're taking over through the green tax. They're taking over with the health care tax. They're taking over with Homeland Security in the name of fighting terrorism. That's the police state to lock things down, admitting Homeland Security is for the American people, that it's for conservatives and gun owners and libertarians and people that want to, quote, in the Fed. We understand their entire battle plan. And I want to tell police and military and even mid-level executives and even high-level executives and people that serve the system, you're going to lose your standard of living. You're going to be hurt by this. And a lot of you will just crawl back to your masters just to keep your limited petty power and your status. And you're going to go along with the literal decapitation of the Republic. The Republic is falling now. The Republic is falling right now. It is falling in the next 3 months. Its collapse of the mighty republic has been going on for a long time as the pillars that support it, the Bill of Rights, Constitution, Declaration of Independence, states' rights, the pioneer, independent, trailblazing, rugged individualism has been sapped and has been bled almost dry. We have been turned against each other. We have been balkanized. They brought Obama in the name of reconciliation and love and peace, the whole time meaning to invoke the race card, invoke division, invoke race war, where if you don't go along with the Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts tattling and spying on you, where if you don't go along with telescreens with daily announcements from the federal government to your children, if you don't go along with the EAS system with hour-long federal announcements on TV and radio where the feds just take over, that's a fact. That was announced in 96. Every engineer I know has seen the documents. I've seen them. It's in my film Martial Law, made in 99, and now they're announcing they're going to do it. The cell phones tracking you, listening to you in real time. Total police state is now happening. They're moving on every front, at every level. It's happening right now. This is it. Now, it is so outrageous the way the spin machine works at Politico and all these other publications. As the foreign banks are desperate to take over 1/20th of the economy that's left, that is in somewhat of free hands. Yes, the insurance companies run scams. Yes, they're involved in fraud. And yes, it's come out that they're actually quietly lobbying and funding and supporting. It's even been in the New York Times, but they say it's a good thing for this health care bill to happen because it isn't socialist health care. It isn't free health care. There's no such thing. That's bad enough. It is fascist eugenics takeover of the health care. Now, we're going to play these clips in a moment. The media is trying to spin this of, oh, he didn't have the votes, but after being called a liar by a congressman, people feel sorry for Obama, and now it might pass. That's total spin. That's just a CIA slogan. Oh, look, he got stood up to and called a liar. People feel sorry now. Now people suddenly support it. And CNN has publicly been caught putting out a fake poll. They double-sampled Democrats in a poll, saying it was a general poll of Republicans and Democrats 50-50, and said, oh, look, his approval rating number shot up after the speech. When you actually look at Rasmussen and other polls, it actually fell. So they're pulling out all the stops with deception and lies and corruption right now. And they're trying to spin it. We're going to play a clip of his speech after the break. And if you listen to Obama, he tells the congressman, he points at the Republican side and says, you're being deceitful. You're lying. He says, it's not true that my bill does A, B, and C. When it does, there's different versions of the bill. They all say it. Congressman Gohmert of Texas, who we've interviewed, is holding up a sign saying what bill? Because they won't, just like they wouldn't give anybody the climate change bill, 300 pages of the 1,000 plus, until they went to vote. So they don't even have the complete bill, but it's all in there. I had Dr. Blaylock on reading the subsections last week. Just like Obama says, I'm not going to hire any lobbyists. All he does is hire lobbyists. He says, I'm going to end the war overnight. He pulls out 50,000 U.S. troops, puts 50,000 more contractors into Iraq, moves the 50,000 U.S. troops to Afghanistan, overall increasing the entire force by 100,000. Everything he says is a lie. Everything he does is a bait and switch. So he calls them liars. And finally, a congressman of courage. Finally, Joe Wilson shouts to Obama during speech, you lie, because Obama was calling him a liar. And I need Kurt Nemo, because Paul's writing another story right now. Kurt, an article, we need a headline that Obama, if you listen to the clip, he tells them that they're not telling the truth, and then they counter him. They're supposed to sit there and take his lies. And then the media pointing out that Bush was booed. We're going to play that as well. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the fight. We've got to defeat this government to take over for the private corporations of healthcare. That's just more of the economy being seized by these people, just like they've seized GM and Chrysler to feed it into the banks. It's a corporate takeover.
Shackles. Don't want no shackles on me. Don't want no shackles. Don't want no shackles on me.
That's Jimmy Vaughn.
I sit down with Big Brother.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a government that has taken 4,000 plus foster children we know of and radiated them to death, declassified. This is a government that took black men and gave them syphilis and let them die over it over 45 years and spread it to tens of thousands, it's estimated. This is a government that has done this thousands of times that we know of in different experiments. Marching our troops, even into the 1980s, into chambers and nerve-gassing them to death in Project Shad in the U.S. and England. On record, in hundreds of newspapers. Now, that's who wants to run your health care, Jack. All you people that want a big daddy to take care of you. All you idiots that think people that don't want government-run, corporate-run health care, that we're racist and don't like the black president. George Bush was a stinking puppet, and so was Barack H. Obama. Barack Obama took the freeze off for forced abortion money from the U.S. to China and Africa and infanticide, you stupid idiots. You don't know anything. I'm talking to you people out there that support Obama like a bunch of fools, that love being scammed, that love being taken to the bank, that love being conned. This is a total totalitarian takeover, and it isn't a sweet one or a soft one or a velvet gloved one. It's an iron fist on fire, red hot, the most vicious I've ever seen in history, the most scientific, hitting on all cylinders, going 200 miles an hour on a straightaway, right at you and your family, tied down the middle of the street. And if we can just get people to recognize it, we can avert this, but if we don't, we're going down completely into hardcore tyranny. I mean slave camps. I mean getting lined up and shot. I mean cities getting nerve gassed. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I understand the New World Order program. I understand it incredibly clear. I can see it. And if you would just get your mind straight and get your head screwed on straight and study this, you'd see it too, and you'd understand it's indescribable. Play the clip of Congressman Joe Wilson, and Obama is first getting in his pointing at the Republicans saying it's not true that my bill does this. And they're all insulted. Knowing that the sections are all public, that they're telling the truth, they're being called liars. So they yell back at him. Here it is.
There are also those who claim that our reform efforts would ensure illegal immigrants. This, too, is false. The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegal. It's not true.
You lie. Joe Wilson. Now, here's Bush being booed.
By the year 2042, the entire system would be exhausted and bankrupt. If steps are not taken to avert that outcome, the only solutions would be dramatically higher taxes.
And it goes on. It's not as loud, but it was reported at the time they were saying, no, not true. And the media didn't whine and scream and claim racism. He's the president. He's the big man. He's the supposed leader. If you're a public figure, especially involved in politics, if you can't stand the heat, get the hell out of the kitchen. I'm a public figure, and I say I like taking my licks. I like it. Tell lies about me. Attack me. Go after me. Yell at me. Scream at me. Just don't lie about my family, or I'll come after you. But you can come after me all you want. I've told people leave Bush and Obama's families alone. Go after the men. Go after who's in the arena. And you put your butt in the middle of the arena, on the field. I mean, it's like saying you can't tackle a black football player. That'd be like saying if a white football player tackled, let's say, that's like saying a white linebacker tackles a black quarterback. That'd be like saying, oh, it's a racist. Like later when we go live at PrisonPlanet.tv, we ought to queue up some clip of a white linebacker or a white defensive lineman tackling a black quarterback. And we'll say, racism, you're not allowed. You're not allowed. No one is allowed to touch a black quarterback because it's racism. See, they're just using that as a political weapon. You know, Obama says they're lying, but they can't counter back, no, you're lying. You see how the double standard works? It's mind control. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We are watching the fall of our republic. When I get up here and I read the New York Times writing glowing reports about 14 to 16-year-old Boy Scouts training with photos and video with M16s to, quote, take on disgruntled American gun owners and veterans in seek and destroy hunter-killer missions. Those are their words. All over the country, right here in Austin, they trained some of the Eagle Scout groups, literal Hitler Jugend, okay? I mean, my wife, you know, has got a degree in French and one in history, and she just says, I love my family. Should we get out of here? I mean, I have to hear that every couple days. I mean, we're literally turning into Nazi Germany here. And all over the world, the global corporate takeover is happening. And Gardasil, 3 years ago, we had medical doctors on reading the documents from the trials of Gardasil, the human papillomavirus shot put out by Merck, that was killing a large percentage, maiming, causing people to be paralyzed, and now they've had to come out and put a warning out. They knew it was a bad drug. That's why they got Rick Perry to say it was mandatory, so that the federal fund for liability protection would kick in for them. Now, this next story, we're just going to spend 15 minutes with our guest, and I appreciate him joining us, is out of the Times of London. Question a doctor, lose your child. And then I'm going to get back into Obama and the healthcare takeover. And I'm going to get back into Congressman Joe Wilson saying, you lie, after Obama said they were liars. The media is, he calls them liars. Obama says, you're not telling the truth. And when one congressman says, you lie, and they're talking about getting him in trouble. So that's coming up. I mean, he's got to sit there and have the president call him a liar, but he can't call him a liar back. This is insane. And again, I'm not a Republican, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sick of hypocrisy. Then we're going to get into the Girl Scouts admittedly in the news to spy on their neighbors. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't even imagine that. It's like I'm living in a mixture of Nazi Germany, Soviet Russia, Maoist China, and Pol Pot's Cambodia. Question a doctor, lose your child. And it says that this 13-year-old took the shot, got paralyzed. Her family complained about it, and the CPS said, we'll take your child if you keep saying that. And the same thing's happening here when Gardasil admittedly is doing this. It's all over the news. It's doing it. Now, someone who fights against this is John Hemming, a liberal Democrat, member of parliament, who campaigns to stop injustice in the family court, said very often proceedings are used as retaliation by local authorities against uppity people who question the system. The mother of a 13-year-old girl who became partially paralyzed for being given the cervical cancer vaccine says social workers have told her the child may be removed if she, the mother, continues to link her condition with the vaccination. So right now, let's go to John Hemming, British Member of Parliament. John Alexander Melvin Hemming, British Member of Parliament. And we, again, really appreciate him joining us. He was elected Chancellor of South Yardley Ward 2005. He was elected as Member of Parliament in Birmingham, Yardley. And he's the first Liberal Democrat to win a parliamentary seat in Birmingham since Wallace Lawler won in Birmingham. He joins us now. Sir, thank you for coming on the show.
Good morning.
Separately, sir, let me just ask you a side issue about your parliamentary rules of procedure. If the prime minister called, say, you a liar, would you get in trouble if you shouted back, you lie?
Well, in fact, the parliamentary language in parliament, all right, requires that nobody calls anyone a liar. So if you're in parliament and you do that, but if you do it outside parliament, nobody cares. So it depends whether it's in parliament or out. The idea is to try and stop people just squabbling with each other and actually get to the facts.
But if Obama says, points at the Republicans and says, you're lying about this, you're not telling the truth, and then they shout back, no, you're lying, I mean,
it depends where. If it's actually in the, is it in the chamber or is it outside it?
In the chamber,
you don't. You know, the idea is to try and get people to be a little bit polite to each other, rather than just having a go all the
time. Yes, sir. I understand that the decorum.
Obama shouldn't be able to say it in the chamber as well. You know, as in he shouldn't be in a position. I don't know the precise history of what's happened there, so I can't really comment. But if you're in a debating chamber like a council or, you know, Senate or House of Representatives or something, then there are normally rules that try to calm people down. We had a Labour MP, there's all sorts of things gone on there, right? But in theory, you're not supposed to call each other liars.
Well, side issue, I apologize for distracting you.
It's normal practice, to be honest. As in, that there's supposed to be some attempt to stop. You know, if you go into Korea, they have a fight in the parliament. Now, you know, I think that's pushing it, really.
Yeah, well, I watch prime minister's questions sometimes on C-SPAN, and it seems like it's a lot more boisterous than our Congress.
It may be, but you're still not allowed to call each other liars.
I understand. Well, then they should both get in trouble.
If they both did it in the chamber, they should both get into trouble. Yeah, straightforward.
But instead, it'll just be the congressman because Obama can do no wrong. Okay, shifting gears back into this.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've seen it in your news. I've seen it in the British news that it's known that Gardasil's killed some people and paralyzed quite a few more. But I guess you're not allowed as a parent to complain if your child gets paralyzed?
Well, I tell you where the problem lies in the court system in England, which is that a lot of child protection stuff, family court stuff, is based on expert evidence. But the expert, they don't allow you to go and get your own expert. You have to agree your expert with the counsel. So if a doctor says is the agreed expert, you can't actually get a second opinion. And that, it's a criminal offence, in fact, to get a second opinion. You can get jailed for it, which puts people in a very difficult situation where most of the trumps in the court process, trump cards, are held by the local authority. So if they want to shut somebody up who's being a bit uppity and sort of challenging the authorities as to their judgment on these things, then they are in a position where they can stop the court listening to a range of views and require the court only to listen to that one expert, which I think is mad, but there you go.
Member of Parliament John Hemming is our guest. I'm sure you're familiar with how family court started. The eugenicist said they had to have racial hygiene about 130 years ago in England, and then spread to Germany and the United States, and we're left with this vestigial eugenics courts. They would order forced sterilizations, you name it. It's outside Magna Carta. Outside Magna Carta.
Well, it's not, in theory, it's not outside Magna Carta, although actually we moved on the key constitutional document in the United Kingdom is now the Bill of Rights 1688 rather than Magna Carta. And that is actually our fundamental constitutional document.
But doesn't it stream from Magna Carta? I've read both.
Well, the family courts should be in accordance with all the standard rules. The difficulty you have is it still is a criminal offence to talk publicly about what goes on in the court, as in its contempt of court. So you get into a very difficult situation where if somebody wanted to protest about the way they've been treated. I had an example, for instance, a lady who didn't speak English, who was told that she was too stupid to instruct a solicitor. Because she'd failed an IQ test she did through an interpreter. And the centralman called the official solicitor was brought in, who conceded the case against her on her behalf. Now, that sort of thing, if she went to the papers and tried to get a photograph in the paper saying, look, they've just stopped me defending my case, she could go to jail. So she doesn't.
So you're not even allowed to charge them. This sounds like a velvet glove tyranny.
It's a tyranny, yes. It's a tyrannical approach, and it's the tyranny of relatively stupid experts. Some of them are quite bright, and there are some very good people working with. A lot of them, they get £5,000, £5,000, as we would call it, for a report, and they're going to keep the local authority suite. So they just say what they're
They're getting money from the government. So
yeah, they're making money from the government to talk nonsense in the courts. And my example there of doing an IQ test through an interpreter. IQ tests are inherently culturally dependent. They're language dependent. So you can't give somebody an IQ test in other than their mother tongue and expect a sensible result. It's meaningless drivel.
Well, what it is it's the eugenics courts taking over society. Sir,
yeah, it's sort of like witch courts, really. It's they dunk people, and if they drown, they're okay, and if they float, they're witches, so they kill them. You know, it's a bit like that.
So it's a system set up for the power trips of the local authorities empowered by the central.
Yeah, it gives people a power kick. And now let's be fair. Not everybody in the system abuses it, but some people do. I actually had a social worker come to tell me how he used to conspire with the parents' solicitors to get the parents to lose their case. And it's well known that sort of thing goes on. No, not all solicitors act in that way. Solicitors, lawyers. We have barristers who are the people who talk in the court, and solicitors who do everything but that, really.
But you've got to legalize child kidnapping, so of course you've got to stage
it. Well, the point is, they were funding it a lot. The reality about child kidnapping and child recycling, as they do, is that it often causes major psychological problems with the children.
Okay, well, sir, it sounds like you really know what you're talking about, because I study this in depth. So tell us about the legalized child kidnapping racket known as Child Protective Services.
Well, what it is there was this theory that Bill Clinton kicked it off a little bit, which is that if you've got a child, it's sort of like taking children from the so-called bad families and giving them to good families. But although, obviously, you do have a situation where you need to deal with really bad parents, in my view. You can't just say it's a free-for-all.
But in the criminal justice system, and they need due process.
Due process is the critical thing. There isn't proper due process. There are so many things wrong with the system. I could fill, I did fill 1 hour, 40 minutes of a program on Edge TV. Anyone can look at that on the net if they want. They look up Edge Edge, EDGE TV, and my name. It's all available on YouTube and everything. But I did fill 1 hour, 40 minutes going into the details of why the system goes wrong and how it's all very bad. But you then get an industry, you see, which needs to process children to make a living for people. We had a situation here, which I managed to get rid of April 2008, where they used to reward local authorities for the number of children they'd swap from one family to another.
Oh, yeah, we have that here. And it's come out. I've had senators on documenting it. They have headhunting lists, and they even say, we've got bonuses for a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, two-year-old girl.
I know, and they go and get, they actually sometimes, what it is, we had a case down in Westminster where they gave a child back to the child's parents who then maltreated the child. They gave the child back to his parents because the child was disabled, you see, and they couldn't get it adopted. Now, the point about child protection is it's supposed to be about child protection, so you should keep the child in state control or whatever. We had an interesting case, which is one, Angela Warman's, it's on the net now because we got it outside the UK, because a lot of the European countries aren't as mad as England. And
now, you're not under the tyranny where you're not allowed to criticize the child molester courts.
Well, I think you're allowed to criticize them, but not in detail. You're not allowed to say what goes on.
Because, sir, it sounds like you're a real expert on this. Have you not found that predators also gravitate into these positions where they can...
Oh, very much so, yes. Well, Islington is a very good example of that. There's a small country called Jersey in Ireland just off France, which is not part of the UK. It's a crown dependency. And there's a senator there, Stuart Sivray, who's being persecuted by the state there because he revealed that a nurse may have murdered 8 people, and the nurse is not being prosecuted, but the senator who revealed that this had happened is being prosecuted. You might like to take him onto your program. I'm sure he'd talk to you. You can email him sometimes. Stuart Sivray is his name. But we had a big saga in Islington where Margaret Hodge covered up. Margaret Hodge was then leader of Islington, covered up a paedophile ring operating in the children's homes. And a few years later, she ended up as children's minister.
Ah.
Right, now that's Margaret Hodge. You can look it all up. It's all on the net. It's not hidden away.
Oh, we've never found a director of children's operations at a major level who isn't a convicted pedophile or who isn't running a whole command force.
To be fair, I don't go as far as what you're saying there. What I say is...
Well, take Florida. The last 3 directors, has turned out, are child rapers.
Well, that's interesting. I know in England there is a problem there. But it's not like 100%.
Saying in key positions, it's approaching that.
Yeah, it may be in America. I don't know about.
Well, it's a cult. We've discovered it's like a cult guild.
Yeah, you've got to distinguish between there are paedophile networks operating in child protection. There's no question about that. That's well documented. But I think that is only part of the issue. The wider problem is a sort of cult of state intervention where
and the money
as well. Well, the money makes a big difference.
It's the bounty.
Somebody was doing, I think one person was making £1 million a year out of reports about Munchausen syndrome by proxy.
Exactly. We have that in Dallas. One guy made over $2 million running a group, putting those out. It came out in the news. And, I mean, that's it. There's literally a letter of mark on our children.
Yeah, there's a lot of money involved. And you can't, you know, just because it's about children doesn't mean people don't care about the money.
Well, let me ask you this, because I clearly have to have you back for a full hour, and we're very honored and very appreciative. I know
it's okay. At a time, it's going to be very difficult over the next few days, but
But coming up in the next month or so, because I'm throwing a lot of questions at you because the limited time we have. But specifically, this case of the mother complained about her child being partially paralyzed, and they said, "Look, is the UK like the US where they order the parents to give them the shot? Is that what happened?"
No, but what it is, and I'm not that anti, I think there are good vaccinations. I'm not the sort of person who says all vaccinations are bad.
Sure.
But with we've had this thing with swine flu where they're desperate. You see, there's not really a problem with swine flu in England apart from people diagnosing swine flu when in fact it's something else. Because swine flu hasn't done much damage, although we had, you'll love this one. We had a period where they were banning people from leaving the country if they got symptoms of swine flu.
Yeah.
And yet they never did anything to prevent people coming into the country with swine flu.
Yeah, it was just using it to train you under a medical tyranny to accept suspension of rights.
I think that's more. You see, I have a view that generally the cock-up theory applies, that things are through mainly through incompetence rather than conspiracy. There are conspiracies from time to time, but I think this is mainly incompetence. And although you're right that it's a gradual movement away from the rights of the individual towards a sort of rights of the bureaucracy. Although I would agree with you that there is a trend that way, I think it's mainly incompetence rather than a conspiracy.
Well, sir, do five more minutes with us. I want to come back and just go and just give you the floor for 5 minutes to just break down what you're facing there. Question a doctor, lose your child.
Yeah, well, this is the what they do is it's retaliatory care proceeding.
Well, stay there, because we have the same thing here now. They're taking people's children because the doctor asked, do your parents have guns? The guns aren't illegal, but they still take your kids. We've got the world-exclusive Charlie Sheen video, a message to the president. I'll be streaming live at prisonplanet.tv later in the next hour. This is big news, so stay with us for that. All right, in closing, John Hemming, Member of Parliament from the United Kingdom, everything you see over there is happening here in different variants. And just some of the other horror stories going on over there, where you question a doctor, lose your child, where the doctors have become tools of the state because the government's in control of the whole healthcare grid and the mandates. So this is the system we're going into here. Please continue.
I don't think that's actually true. I think the issue here is simply this, that due process does not properly operate in the family courts. You can't get an independent opinion. I think you're making, I'm sorry to disagree with you, but I actually think that the concept of the NHS in Britain, much that they've messed up some aspects of it here, is actually a good concept. And I don't think that is what's driving this at all. I think what's driving it is the fact you can't get a second opinion.
Well, the feds could change that. I mean, the federal government there could change it if they wanted to. But, I mean, regardless, if you didn't have this big nanny state, this couldn't be happening. But fine. I mean, how do we stop this?
Well, what it is we have to look at the due process and stop them using secrecy to protect the practitioners. It's about accountability and openness, that if somebody's been through the system and been maltreated, they cannot be prevented from talking about it. And they should be able to talk about it on your show.
Well, absolutely. In Soviet Russia, you got arrested for speaking out. I mean, is England becoming...
Well, no, it's been like this for some time. This is, you know, we've actually managed to reduce the secrecy recently. So we are making some progress in sorting this particular aspect out, and it's a gradual process. But it comes down to not having due process, and that it's all about outcomes rather than process. And the fact is, you get the wrong outcomes if you don't get the process right.
So, particularly in this case, what happened with the girl in the Gardasil shot?
Well, the one I was dealing with was actually Melvelina Langley, which is in the same article, which is to do with a 16-year-old boy who they keep on threatening to take off his mother because he's disabled and in a wheelchair and is having a difficulty getting a wash. His problems rest from the fact that there's an agreement to put an extension in the property so he has a bathroom downstairs, but they won't do it, even though they're legally required to do it. So it's a row about an extension that's resulting in a 16-year-old boy being threatened with a form of imprisonment.
But the bureaucrats like that because then they have more wards, they get more funding.
Well, they like it because it gives them control and an ability to deal with a situation, and stroppy people or uppity people who want to exercise their rights are prevented from doing so.
So, how do we stop it?
Well, change the law. I think the part of it, the work done by people like yourself in terms of highlighting these things is good. I don't know enough about what happens in America to know what your procedures are like. But I know quite a bit about Europe. We actually need to change the law to get proper due process in these things. So it's based on real evidence. and not just based, not just mates sorting each other out, which is what it is in England.
Well, it's the same here. It's just you're allowed to speak out against him. It's just none of the mainstream media will pick it up.
Well, and that's up to the media then, and then also people have the internet to use, and people have other ways of dealing with it.
Well, there's no due process in it, and they just seize people's children.
That should be subject to judicial review. I think you have got judicial review in America, haven't you?
The CPS just runs off with your kids for a year until they terminate rights. And yeah, if you've got $1 million and cross your fingers, you might be able to get your children back from them.
The problem is, we're making progress sorting this out in England. Right?
All right. Thank you for coming on with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, later in this hour, perhaps at the start of the next hour, we're going to have a world-exclusive video message from Charlie Sheen directly to President Barack Obama. It's shot in high def, so Aaron has been encoding it this morning, and it crashed, so that's why we haven't played it yet. I'm not saying we don't know when it's coming up, because I'm trying to build suspense, though we do need to build some suspense. It's important. I'm not sure when it's going to be ready, but he's in there working hard. He's done a great job editing this video in with Charlie Sheen's videotape statement. This is extremely powerful. I'm asking all listeners, when this goes up in the next hour, we're going to first stream it live to PrisonPlanet.tv members that are watching us live. We're going to go live at PrisonPlanet.tv in the next segment, simulcasting the radio show in living color via TV. And so this is coming up. 20 Minutes with the President has gone supernova huge. Hundreds and hundreds of newspapers, blogs are covering it. O'Reilly is attacking. I will detail our operation, our offensive against the lie that is 9/11 in the next hour. Manny Badillo, who lost his uncle in the World Trade Center towers, is taking the government to court. They actually got their 80-something thousand signatures. The government tried to throw it out. Mainstream news picked up on the initial refusal of the signatures. They went into court, proved they were real. It's now going to court, the 9/11 cover-up. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, details of that coming up in 30 minutes. Isn't that exciting? God-blessed news on the eve of the 8th anniversary of the staged terror attacks that the military-industrial complex staged to set up the Homeland Security police state grid. Remember almost 8 years ago I told you, more than 8 years ago, 2 months before 9/11, really a year before 9/11, I said they're going to stage terror attacks because I saw government documents, government reports, the PNAC report, but I specifically said they'd probably blow up the World Trade Center, blame it on their asset Osama bin Laden, 2 months before 9/11. And here we are, all these years later, and they're openly announcing Homeland Security's for conservatives, for gun owners, for the American people. And I told conservatives that got fooled and bamboozled by Bush that I wasn't a communist, that I was a patriot, that I knew Bush was going to expand the size of government and set up a police state, and that it was all going to be used against gun owners and landowners and conservatives and anybody who's got more than two pennies to rub together. Just like I'm telling Democrats I'm not a fascist, that Obama is just a puppet for the same agenda. He's continuing all of Bush's agenda with different rhetoric. So that is coming up. Manny Badillo in 30 minutes. We have Dr. Russell Blaylock, brain surgeon, neurologist, joining us for 20 minutes in starting the next segment, because he's done a detailed report he's written up. He read the whole 1,000-plus page bill, one of the versions. Then what they do is they introduce another version that doesn't have the bad stuff in it, but then they're trying to pass the bad version, and they play a bait and switch with the public going, look, this version doesn't have it, but the one they're trying to pass does. So we'll go over that. The fact that Obama says it doesn't give illegal aliens health care, the government already gives them health care federally and state. The fact that they say it doesn't force you to take money out of your paycheck, and then he admits they're doing it. And so Obama called the Republicans liars. He said, you're not telling the truth, and pointed at them. right at him, pointed right at him. I think he was trying to elicit a response. And they said, you lie. And the media spun it and said, oh, look. See, he calls him. He says they're not telling the truth. That's calling him a liar. Then they say, you lie back. And the media goes, how dare them? It's racist. And I use the analogy. If a white member of a defense tackles a black quarterback or a black wide receiver or somebody, it's racism. It is pure racism. You do not. Listen, if you have a black doctor and you don't like the job they did, you're not allowed to criticize it. Again, that's what the media is saying. It's total mind control.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
All right, we had British Member of Parliament John Hemming about how they kidnap your children if you complain about the Gardasil shot paralyzing them or killing them. That's Times of London. We have Dr. Russell Blaylock, MD, brain surgeon, neurologist, joining us, you know, peer-reviewed, published expert on excitotoxins. And he's also written a detailed analysis of the entire 1,000-plus page bill that I went through the bill myself with his document and found it all to be devastatingly accurate. We've got Manny Badillo, We Are Change New York. Big news. They've got the city of New York to start a big court proceeding investigation of 9/11 and what really happened. They got 80-plus thousand signatures to do this. He's popping in for about 10 minutes. The Charlie Sheen World Exclusive video message to the president that we're releasing here, asking for an investigation to the president. That's coming up at the start of the next hour. And then popping in historian Webster Tarpley in the last hour to give us his take on all the things that are happening. But I want to play this clip as we go to Dr. Russell Blaylock. This is Obama last night pointing to the Republicans. He aggressively looks at them. He's only about 30 feet away from them. And he says, it's not true that this funds illegals. Well, I've read the subsection. It just changes the name of the illegals. It's got all the interpreters for them. The feds already fund the states to do it with unfunded mandates, but they fund about a third of it. It's all in there about taking over health care. So I want to just have Dr. Russell Blaylock. I'm going to try to just shut up for 15 minutes. We have a bare time with him. And let him just rocket through it. But first, I wanted to play this clip because he's calling them liars. Then they dare yell back at him that he's lying. And the media is spinning this in a mass hoax, because here's the headlines. Obama, time for bickering over on health care. It's bickering to question in our republic. You're not supposed to have free speech. The Democratic whip says the Democrats lack the votes. Poll hell. Obama disapproval on health care plummets. Will plan lead to forced unionization of healthcare workers? Yes, it will. Under federal control. Flashback. Dems booed Bush during State of the Union. Flashback. Obama accused Bill Clinton of telling bald-faced lies. We have all those clips we're going to be playing. And then CNN spin speech. Poll sampled double the amount of Democrats to claim his polls went up. They did one-third Republicans, two-thirds in the poll, said it was an even poll of Republicans and Dems to skew the numbers. Caught red-handed in fraud, mainstream news, and CNN even admits it. I mean, this is off the charts. So let's play the clip of Obama, who's done nothing. I've never seen the president. He makes Bill Clinton look truthful. He makes George Bush look truthful, and I hated both of them. Here it is.
So those who claim that our reform efforts would ensure illegal immigrants. This, too, is false. The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegal. It's not true.
And we already know you're a liar. You said you wouldn't hire lobbyists. That's all you did. You said you were getting the troops out of Iraq. You took 50,000 out of Iraq, put them in Afghanistan, and then put 50,000 more contractors in. A 100,000 increase because they put another 40-plus thousand into Afghanistan, so it's a 90,000 increase, want to be technical. The issue here is everything he says is a lie. Okay, I'm going to shut up. We got Russell Blaylock here. Sir, you've written a report on this. People can read. Give out your site, the name of the report. It's got it all linked, bibliographed. People can go read it for themselves. Tell us, sir, starting with the illegal alien coverage, what's really going on?
Well, what I found interesting in the bill was that they redefined illegal alien. They asked, you know, in it, it has different things to strike out. To strike out the term illegal alien and redefine it as person in the country illegally. While if you allow the person to stay here and work, then according to a legal definition, they're here legally because you haven't expelled them. You haven't arrested them. They're not charged with a crime. Therefore, in judicial terms, they could potentially be classified as legal. They're here legally. So they made an effort to redefine that, and I thought that was strange. Now, if they're not intending to treat illegal aliens, why do they have at least 10 to 15 pages in the bill that's dedicated particularly to language for people who do not speak English? They even say all physicians will have to put signs in their offices in all the languages of the people that they will be serving. It says that special interpreters will have to be used by all physicians, hospitals, medical facilities for people who do not speak English, and that these people cannot be family members and other people that you have that speak Spanish or other languages. They have to be specially qualified, knowing medical terminology so that they can interpret this for this person who does not speak English. Now, if we have all of this money being spent on interpreting language for people who do not speak English, who is it directed at? Well, it's not directed at legal immigrants. Most of them learn English. It's directed at the illegal immigrant. And, of course, every illegal immigrant can walk into any emergency room and get all the care that you can with top dollar medical insurance or any kind of coverage. So they already have full access to all American health care. Under this bill, that would continue because it says no emergency room, no medical facility can exclude anyone for any reason.
So Obama, sir, is a bald-faced liar.
He's a bald-faced liar, and he knows it. Anyone who's even glanced at this bill, I mean, why would you have 10, 15 pages just on requirements that people have language interpreters readily available at every medical facility, at every level? You know, right now, in physicians' offices, when I practiced, you had to have an interpreter at your own expense. So I had to pay for the interpreter if a patient.
So this is really a non-issue. We already have total legalization of the illegals. Washington Post admits they pick illegals up in these raids and then take them and give them green cards. Homeland Security does. I mean, at these one time I cut my finger off, went in, and they kept serving the illegals while I had to have my insurance run. And I said, look, you better get a doctor and come reattach this finger before it rots off or you're liable. I see you running those illegals in there because you know they don't have insurance. I've got full coverage, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Minnesota, because that's my employer in Minnesota. I said, do it now. And they actually kind of snapped too. But as a citizen, I was a piece of trash.
Right. Well, you know, this is true, and it's been true. And the other thing in this bill, it says the illegal alien does not have to pay the tax that all other Americans will have to pay. If you don't get health insurance or the public option, you have to pay a 2.5% tax. The illegal alien is exempted from that, even though they remain in the country and are working, some making quite a bit of money. They're exempted from this 2.5% non-compliance tax, yet they get full access to every bit of care that you do. That's when I hear people say, oh, there's 50 million people who don't have access to health care. That's an absolute lie. There's not a living human being in this country that does not have full access to top-quality health care.
But it's kind of a secret for citizens. I had an employee who had really bad Crohn's and couldn't eat and was probably going to die. And I explained to him, I said, listen, even if your insurance is throwing you off, you've got to go explain you're a charity case. He went to New York, had one of the top Crohn's doctors, Dr. Kornbluth, do his surgery, all paid for,
$80,000. And so, it's just a myth that you hear this continuously, and Obama says it constantly. as if these people don't have access to health care. That's just your nonsense. These uninsured have full access to every bit of health care that you do.
Well, sir, go through just some of the other bullet points in the segment we have left and the segment coming up. Some of the other things that are really in the health care bill. They keep denying that government's taking over doctors, that they're going to take money out of your check, and suddenly they're even admitting that now.
Well, the interesting thing that I hear all the time is that there's absolutely no rationing in this bill. Obama says it. Everybody connected with this on the Democratic side, Pelosi says it constantly. There is no rationing in this bill. Every page of this bill is rationing. Anyone who has ever even glanced at a socialist system anywhere in the world, intrinsic is severe rationing. As the system gets deeper in debt, the rationing increases. And this is what's scary about this bill. It leaves full discretion to the Secretary of Health and Human Services, which means once the bill's approved, then from then on, she can arrange it, document it, change it any way that she wants to, including ratcheting up severe rationing. Now, I just listed some of the rationing things in this bill. For instance, the Secretary of Health and Human Services determines the payment rate for all physicians. All doctors are automatically in the public option unless they opt out, and the Secretary of HHS will determine the opt-out procedure, which may be quite complicated. There are numerous civil penalties all throughout this bill for physicians, for overpayment, ER readmissions that are considered by her to be not justifiable, violations of rules, documentation, audits. All of these are just filled with civil penalties against the physician. Well, I can tell you, as someone who practiced under Medicare and Medicaid, you're always aware of that, and you tend not to treat patients who are probably going to have you end up in court or end up in prison because you overlooked some rule that you weren't even aware of. And there are literally tens of thousands of rules.
So doctors now become file clerks, but then you can bow down and become sign in to be a government minion, though, and then they're going to let you do whatever you want, correct, doctor?
Well, you can't do what you want. You're terrified. Every time you treat a patient, you're absolutely terrified that the government is going to come after you and say, you did something wrong according to such and such rules that you didn't even know existed.
Amazing. Stay there, Dr. Blaylock. We'll come back, go through more of the bill. All right, final segment with Dr. Russell Blaylock. Sir, continue. I know there's hundreds of lies in there, but you were getting into the fact that it gives dictatorial power for the government to do whatever it wants. It's a blank check. Same thing with the gun bills they've introduced. Go ahead, sir.
It even says 18 months, a year later, the HHS secretary can write new laws that are covered by this bill, design whole departments, take over medical education in the United States. That's written in the bill, the slow takeover of medical education. Now, doctors used to give away free health care all the time. I've given away at least $1 million worth of health care in my practice. But now it is against the law to give free health care to any medically covered patient by the federal government. That's a crime. So you can no longer do that. So this government saying that they care about people is an absolute lie. Socialists never care about people. In this bill, it says there will be periodic investigations to determine compliance with rules and regulations. Coding, this is the big rationing of care. They created a coding system called DRG, which you code everything you do to a patient, from the most minor thing on, using morass of rules. No one knows how to code properly. But if you miscode, you can go to jail. You can end up with huge fines. Under this bill, it says now codes will be bundled. Therefore, if you get a patient in that has very complex disease, a lot of things wrong with them, instead of getting your coding for each thing that you have to deal with and the amount of time you spend, you just get a lump sum for total treatment of the patient, which means physician pay is going to fall tremendously, so physicians are not going to want to treat the complex cases. And that's just what they want because that's the most expensive care.
And And by the way, they have national numbers out. Doctors' pay since 75, according to inflation, has been cut by half. So it's the doctors and the physicians that are being screwed, and that's why more and more people, I know Harvard-educated doctors that are in their 10th, 12th, 13th year of practice and still are paying off their bills from education. Now we have a shortage of doctors and nurses and people because folks don't want to put up with this.
Well, another big surprise to the physicians and patients is as the physician finds that his reimbursement falls dramatically, he's no longer going to be able to afford his office staff or the upkeep of his office. So the federal government will take over that office. I've seen that happen with managed care. They took over all the physicians' offices. If the wives worked in the office, they fired them and completely took over the physician's office. So what that means, you'll no longer go to this nice doctor's office. You're going to be in some warehouse somewhere with everyone else. Imaging services, they have a whole section on page 274, section 1 through 4, that they're going to change the imaging, that is like MRI scans, CT scans. They have to have 75% utilization or they're going to close them down. What that means is there'll be a long waiting line to use these scanners. You've got to have 50% or less utilization any one time in order to have access. So that means a lot of people will never get scanned because they'll be waiting in such a long line, and that's what they want. There's adjustments for what the Secretary of HHS said is an improper readmission to the emergency room. The hospital will be penalized and the physician will be penalized. Well, that's the disease. That's not the necessary responsibility of the physician. It also says that doctors must determine the abuse and fraud potential of organizations they deal with, or they will be fined by heavy civil penalty. Now, are suddenly doctors supposed to be investigators, and so that if they send a patient to a facility for some care or rehabilitation, they have to know whether this is a high abuse and fraud risk to the federal government? If so, they undergo huge fines, so they'll tend not to send them there. Less rehabilitation. That's rationing. They say that the plan will have increased screening of claims, unannounced site visits, inspections, additional reporting requirements. Physicians will not have time to ever take a vacation or any time off because they will be documenting virtually everything that they do to a patient. It will be massive paperwork. And the physicians will become so frustrated, they're going to retire in droves, and they're going to quit in droves.
Well, my dad is an oral surgeon and a dentist, and that's nothing like a brain surgeon or something, the amount of paperwork you'd have to do. And he says he spends about half his time now with paperwork, and that's one reason there's such a shortage of care in some cases, because doctors can't trust even their most trusted nurses or office managers to do this stuff, because if they make a mistake, they're going to get in big trouble.
Oh, they could go to prison. The number one rationing is by treatment protocol. And what that says, it tells the physician exactly what he can and cannot do.
That is so criminal. The government practicing medicine. Dr. Blaylock, thank you so much for joining us. RussellBlaylockMD.com is the website. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Lordy, trouble so hard.
Ladies and gentlemen, I told everybody that the big announcement that was coming Tuesday only began with the 20 minutes to the president in that Monday video. And then Charlie was going to go public on this show with live interviews, taped interviews. That's now happened. He's back with us tomorrow. I'm not at liberty to tell you what I know right now, but I'm going to be talking to Charlie. I was just talking to him during the break. This is just unbelievable. Yeah, go ahead and bring it in, Aaron. Thank you. But don't have the cameras anywhere near this live on PrisonPlanet.tv. This is unbelievable. I don't know how I'm supposed to continue the radio show knowing this. This is just off the charts. Everybody knows what Charlie Sheen's asking for. Everybody knows what he's asking for, a meeting with the president. Now, I don't want to say anything because it probably won't happen, but it's It's very interesting what's going on right now. Very, very interesting. And we'll for sure hear about it from Charlie tomorrow. I also have this world-exclusive video that we're about to play coming up after Manny Badillo leaves us in the next 15 minutes. On the radio, we'll be playing the audio. We'll be streaming it live for everybody first at PrisonPlanet.tv. PrisonPlanet.tv members, you make it all possible. By the way, I've already done an hour and a half of the show and haven't told you about any of our sponsors or how we fund this operation. We have an online video bookstore at InfoWars.com that also has close to 50 t-shirts, ball caps, you name it. That's how you support us. Plus, it's great t-shirts, great videos, great films, great books, all the best stuff that I've produced and other people produced. Everything I think is very informative. It's all available at InfoWars.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. You can also pre-order. It starts shipping in just 8 days, probably less. That's when it officially comes out. Camp FEMA, that I'm a big part of and consulted in, William Lewis made. It is just an amazing film documenting the concentration camps. That's now available at InfoWars.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. The film New World Order that I and Luke Radowski and others are featured in. Excellent film. Available right now on DVD with all the expanded extras at InfoWars.com or 888-253-3139. If you want to watch the live Charlie Sheen, the live streaming of the video, the maiden voyage, we're going to be airing it coming up at the latest next hour. So go get a PrisonPlanet.tv membership. It'll be all over the web. We're going to post it on YouTube afterwards. But if you want to see it live and in higher quality at PrisonPlanet.tv, sign in right now. If you're a member or become a member, it takes about a minute to sign up, $5.95 a month. That just pays for all our bandwidth and allows us to do this. I have a huge hill on top of making films and doing interviews and breaking stories and dealing with personnel to get the money in to pay for all this. $400,000 a year in bandwidth. That's our biggest expense. Actually, personnel are a little bit above that, but then it's the second biggest expense. But now that I think about it, it's just amazing. Also want to tell you about New Silver Solution. People all over the world are discovering the benefits of supernatural silver. It's the name of the brand. The powerful new nanotechnology is a natural antibiotic and preventative against infections, germs, and disease. According to medical doctors they have linked on their site, silver is one of the oldest natural antibiotics and is non-toxic. Visit their link on InfoWars.com and see the studies for yourself. I think that's important to do. You cannot afford to miss this opportunity. It's essential for your emergency preparedness needs and is a great way to protect your family. Also, it's a great topical disinfectant. Cannot put a price tag on the health of your families. This is another great thing to have in your arsenal. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com today to see what this new technology can do for you and your family. Supernatural Silver. Go watch the testimonials and you'll see what I've seen. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com. Okay. Going now to Manny Badillo. Manny is another testament to what you can do by taking action. He lost his uncle, who was very close to Thomas Skroy in the Towers. He features, of course, a lot of you know him from Truth Rising, about 9/11 truth groups. He also goes to Congress and fights to get medical treatment for the police, firemen, and emergency workers. A few weeks ago, when they tried to throw out their tens of thousands of signatures for a new investigation in New York, that made national news. But when they went back in and defeated that in court and showed their signatures were real, that hasn't made the news. But it's breaking here today. And so it looks like it's going to go ahead and go to court now to explain what type of court, what type of investigation. Manny Badillo now joins us from New York City on the eve of the false flag terror attacks. Manny, good to have you here with us.
Good to be on the show, Alex. Thank you so much for allowing for this forum to break this news. Yesterday, Ted Walter and myself went to the Board of Elections to oversee a court-appointed referee in the count of our work, over 1,000 man hours, 50-plus volunteers that verified and validated over 7,000 signatures that the city said weren't valid. When we got to the Board of Elections yesterday, we just were amazed at the fact that the city called us and said, we concede. We concede that you have the 30,000 votes that's needed to put this referendum on the November ballot. We now are in a second stage. We are in litigation. We're going to be arguing the legality of the petition. If we prevail in November, New York City voters will have the ability to vote yes to an impartial, subpoena-powered, non-political investigation into the events that took my uncle's life and 3,000 others, so many others around the world.
Unbelievable. And just another example of standing, fighting, taking action, having security goons, the mayor following you guys around, threatening you, harassing you, the death threats. I don't want to go through all the hell you guys have gone through. A lot of it's on video in Truth Rising. It's so unbelievable. Even though we have the video, it's hard to believe. Just the hell you've gone through, but you're getting so close. And the people demand the truth. And I just salute you, Manny, and the rest of the team with all that you've gone through to do this.
Well, I salute you and your staff and so many others, Charlie Sheen. That's taking actions, okay? What we're seeing right now is we're seeing a vast array of different groups. We're seeing family members, first responders, survivors, professionals such as architects, engineers, celebrities, everyone getting together and taking democratic action. And so we can get to the truth of what happened to my uncle. It's going to be 8 years tomorrow. I can't tell you how many times I thought about him today, how I went to his legacy page, how I have the pictures of him out. Tomorrow I'll be down there at 7 a.m. when family members are first allowed to be down there. But just to like recap, 80,000 New York City registered voters, okay, signed a petition for a new investigation, a proper investigation. The city is trying to say that they don't want to follow the will of the people. And what we've been doing here is we've been going into the Board of Elections, we've been ensuring that the will of the people is met. The city yesterday conceded that we have enough signatures. On Friday, we handed in another 28,000 signatures to the city to ensure that any vote that the city council gives, we can override that. Right now, it comes down to working within the court system to work, talk about the legality of the position of the petition, and essentially, what we could find in November is the ability for New York City voters to find out the truth of what happened on 9/11, to get to the justice that's due my uncle and 3,000 others and now tens of thousands of first responders that are sick and dying, and to get to the accountability that we so desperately need in this country.
Well, you know, all we do is offer solutions, states' rights, taking action, getting involved, suing the government, calling for new investigations. Charlie Sheen reaching out to the president saying, I want to meet with you. I want you to go over these 20 questions. I can't tell you what I know right now. But this has gone to the highest levels of the White House. You know what? I'm going to shut up. I'm just going to leave it right there. I can hardly continue right now on air because I can. Charlie, I need to call him, and I may even have him come on today. Regardless, he's on tomorrow. People will regardless find out tomorrow.
Alex, I have a feeling what you're going to say, and I think it's fantastic. I just want to also say this. The actions that Charlie took, the actions that we're taking here in New York, the actions you're taking and so many others throughout the world are taking, okay? These are actions that we need to take. This is our constitutional obligation. Now, also, I found out that, I'm talking to the Board of Elections of workers, and I'm asking them questions about why, you know, so many signatures were invalidated by the city. What they were telling me is that they were not allowed to look at the signature, okay, on any written, on any contract, okay, it's your signature which counts. I was talking to Board of Election workers, and they were like, well, they only told us to match the addresses. And they said, well, signatures change a lot. I said, addresses change a lot more. I go, this is a legal document. I go, why do you feel you weren't allowed to look at the signatures? They said, we don't know. You know, we have the ability to do that. They said, we can't look at the signatures. We can't verify these votes, these signatures. So you're sitting here, and you're saying to yourself, wait a second. You know, if this has been taking place for how long in New York City? Only one petition has managed to get through in the past 25 years here in New York, and that was for term limits, which the city council then overturned recently, so Mayor Bloomberg can run for a third term. You know, really, the system is not set up for the will of the people. It's set up to keep the bureaucracy in power. And that's another amazing, fact. The thing is that we're going to persevere. There will be an investigation. There will be a proper investigation, if not now, in the very near future. We're going to have a rally at the end of September. We're going to have a march from Union Square down to City Hall, letting everyone know that 80,000 New Yorkers signed a petition to find out the truth and get to justice. We're going to have a rally where those first responders, those family members, those survivors, and whoever else would like to be there.
Jesse, well, say that again. You said 90,000?
There's 80,000 New York City registered voters signed this petition. We're going to
have... Okay, my audio was cutting out. I thought it was 80. That's what I said earlier. I thought I heard 90. So 80,000.
80,000. We're going to have as many signatories to that petition in this march as possible. We're going to have as many figures within this movement. This is going to be huge. We're going to let the world know that here in New York, we've taken a democratic action. This is the First Amendment, Alex, okay? Petitioning the government for a redress of grievances. We're also going to do another provision of the First Amendment, peaceably assembling. We're going to be marching down from Union Square to City Hall with as many people as possible. We want Richard Gage there. We want Jesse Ventura, Charlie Sheen. We want Rosie O'Donnell. We want everyone who's spoken out. This is a huge point in our movement, and this is some big news that the city conceded the fact that we have more than enough signatures. This is big news that the city basically has held back on the will of the people okay. to go along with these rules they
All
have.
Right. Manny, we're going to continue to get updates from you tomorrow live as that happens. Folks can find out more at wearechange.org. What about the website dealing with the petitions?
Okay, nyccan.org. Take a look there for updates over the next few days. Also, go to wearechange.org/91109. I'm about to head out to have an interview with a few broadcast news networks, and then we're going to be at the Council on Foreign Relations. I'm going to be with Luke and hundreds of other activists letting the world know exactly what we know about the false flag terror event, otherwise known as 9/11.
All right. Thank you so much, Manny Badia. We'll check in with you as this develops. Give out the petition website one more time.
That's NYCCAN. That's New York City Coalition for Accountability Now. Alex, I want to thank you for all the hard work you've done. And I just want to say, I do this for my uncle, and I do this for all those family members that know we've been viciously lied to. There will be justice, and there will be accountability.
And I know you also, we're all doing it so they don't stage more terror attacks.
We're saving lives, exactly.
Manny Badillo, God bless you.
God bless you.
Very exciting to hear from him. So much is going on here, ladies and gentlemen. I am just beside myself with the amount of news coming in. At 8 after next hour, I'm going to air for the first time the special message from Charlie Sheen, video message of the president. Charlie is trying to get a meeting with the president. That's all I can say. He wanted to get the president's attention. That's happened. That's all I can tell you. I doubt he's going to meet with him, but we're going to see. Regardless, then it moves to the next phase of beating the drum, not to just meet with Charlie, but with victims' family members, like Bob McElvain and others, who I've been in contact with and Charlie's been talking to. So we are here working on this, ladies and gentlemen, right now. And we're doing the best job we can. We're trying to take on a Goliath here. But if the people really get involved in this, if the people really understand how big this is and really take action with it and not re-energize, because 9/11 truth is continuing to expand, but put it back in the mainstream media front burner, then we can really capture the hearts and minds of the people to understand we can bring these tyrants to justice. Got breaking info coming in on my iPhone here. I'm looking at it. It's like a war room. My whole life is just, I mean, I have so much passion. I want to do this 18 hours a day, but at the same time, my little 18-month-old daughter was, as the door was open this morning as I was leaving, she was there waving at me and blowing me kisses and not wanting me to go. It's just a picture of absolute heaven and everything I'm fighting for. And I'd give my life for her and my other children in a split second. That's why I'm not even worried about them killing me. And I can't even get into the fear mode of them doing something to them, because I care about all children. I care about all innocents. And I just can't stand evil and corruption and lies and baloney anymore. And I can't stand cowardice anymore and people that won't stand up and won't get involved. John, take me out with Renegades here as soon as you can cue it up. And or you know what? Take me out to break. We'll come back and air all of Renegades because I need to make a phone call, work on some breaking news. Then I'm going to come back, recap some financial news, get into the Girl Scouts to be Hitlerjugend in America. Openly being announced. I'll do that in the end of the next segment and the next little short segment, 8 after Charlie Sheen. And I'm asking everybody to get this video. We're going to air it here first at PrisonPlanet.tv and over the radio for the listeners. But then it's going to go up on YouTube. We're going to post it up on InfoWars and Prison Planet. And I'm asking everybody to have this go mega, mega viral because the media will pick up on video of Charlie Sheen talking. And then after a few hours after this goes mega viral, we're going to put it up there. Aaron did a great piece with video clips and other things. I'm going to put it up dry just with Charlie Sheen and his statement separately just so the media, because that's what they're going to want, is just the, you know, the clean cuts of him. But Aaron did an amazing job. Aaron has been up over 24 hours right now. And I said, Aaron, you don't have to do this. We can put it out Friday. He wanted to get it done today. So, Aaron, I mean, it's just, I mean, he's like my number one son now, as they call it. You know, that term, I guess, in South Korea or China. Number one son. He just does such a great job. he's got that same passion. Because I remember back when I was putting out my first films, I was editing, shooting the video, most of it myself, putting it together, and I could only get edit bays for cheap overnight. So I would stay up every night till like 6 a.m. till people came in because I got cheaper rates in the edit bay. And I would go weeks on like 2 or 3 hours sleep. That's what Aaron's doing.
Some would make him king. Others couldn't stand for that. knows where we'd be when it comes to heroes red at the age of mine. When it comes to heroes red at the age of mine.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Are the renegades in the world today? Thank God for the renegades and the lives they lead far ahead of their time. Just talked to Charlie Sheen about the discussions he's having with certain parties. And it's just so exciting, either which way it goes, that it's hard to continue the radio show right now. Because I know the power of humanity. I know the power of ideas. I know the power of individuals and the power of groups when we don't operate inside their left-right paradigm, when we break out of that. I know we can defeat the globalist. I know we can bring justice. I know we can make the world a better place. And coming up, ladies and gentlemen, Charlie Sheen, world-exclusive video in T-minus 8 minutes, 30 seconds. In the next little short segment, I'm going to get into the Girl Scouts here in my stack, just openly to be Hitler Jugend. You just can't make this kind of stuff up.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are live worldwide on the radio, simulcasting on AM and FM dial, global shortwave, the internet, streams at Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv, and PrisonPlanet.com, JonesReport.com, Infowars.net, WhatIsTheEndgame.com, ArnoldExposed.com, MartialLaw911.info, TruthNews.us. U.S. Girl Scouts prepare for war pestilence. And driving home last night, I was listening to NPR, and I almost had to stop the car. I already knew this, and I already understand it intellectually, but when it hits you, when what you knew was going to happen actually unfolds, it freaks you out. Under AmeriCorps, they have SecureCorps. Bush set it up. In 2002, the Philadelphia Daily News reported high school kids being taken and trained by Homeland Security and Warrant Service, fugitive apprehension, cordoning neighborhoods. Then I saw the books written by Rahm Emanuel, the White House Chief of Staff, his speeches, the bills introduced for National Compulsory Service, them admitting it's going to be a domestic military force under the White House, as big and as strong as the U.S. military, and Obama saying it. And then we cover it, and people laugh at us, and George Soros-run Media Matters comes out and says, I'm a liar, none of it exists. Then we see the New York Times a few months ago with a positive article for it, showing 14 to 16-year-old Eagle Scouts in black uniforms training with M16s and, quote, seek and destroy against veterans with guns. And it describes them with photos going into houses, killing them with Homeland Security. And I had my son in Cub Scouts, but I had to take him out because of this. We get the Boy Scouts email newsletters, and it's talking about it in there. And I'm so conditioned to this, I saw this in my email a month ago and didn't even cover it on air. They just acclimate you to accept it. Now, here's the Girl Scouts. Now, see, Obama said he wanted to address the kids. The Department of Education put out the learning schedule saying how they're going to help the president, how they're going to work with him, how they're going to write letters, how they're going to help him. On telescreens, the federal government coming in with federal education plans. Then Obama bait and switched and took that out to say, hey, I just want to speak to your kids. The government wants to start making announcements to them. It's no big deal. And then I have this article, AFP, AP, they're all covering it. U.S. Girl Scouts prepare for war pestilence. See, we told you they were going to put troops on the streets, and now they announced 400,000 under Homeland Security. 4,000 last year. It's all happening. Troops outrunning checkpoints. There's the Boy Scouts on your screen. Scouts trained to fight terrorists and more. This is real, ladies and gentlemen. This is the most hardcore, authentic, bona fide tyranny as it gets. The United States wants to enlist 3.4 million Girl Scouts in the effort to combat hurricanes, pandemics, terror attacks, and other disasters. Same thing with the Eagle Eyes program. With 50-plus thousand executives, 500,000 truck drivers, they're just taking everything over. The Department of Homeland Security, DHS, launched a campaign Tuesday to entice the blue, brown, and green-clad multitudes to be even more prepared. Yeah, not just sell cookies. With the promise of a new patch if they pitch in. And it goes on to talk about looking for terrorists, watching for terrorists, and how the scouts will now join under Homeland Security with Citizen Corps. See, that's part of Secure Corps, a community-based initiative under Department of Homeland Security, Federal Emergency Management Agency, which coordinates national response to disasters. This is the government wanting your kids for anti-terror. Ladies and gentlemen, this is so bold, so off the charts. And then I'll probably have Media Matters or Think Progress put up big headlines saying none of this exists. I mean, that they just keep stonewalling. You got to take your children out of Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts. You got to have a huge boycott, because then the national group that was set up after the Civil War to be a paramilitary group, then they'll stop this. You got to boycott them. I'm calling for a national boycott. If they'd have done this with Hitler, they used their Boy Scouts to start the Hitler.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
The majority of 9/11 victims' family members, according to scores of groups we've had live on air, say they believe 9/11 is a total inside job. Not just LIHOP, let it happen on purpose. No, MIHOP made it happen on purpose. The majority. Going back 3+ years ago, Bill Doyle, publicly head of the biggest victims group, I forget, what is it, 10,000 families? His son Joey died in the tower, saying, yes, I believe it's an inside job, and more than half our members believe it. That clips in Terror Storm from the radio show. But the point is that the establishment always wraps themselves in the firefighters, the police, the dead people, and says, let us have more wars, let us attack Iraq. They carried out 9/11, yellow cake, WMDs, nukes. And Bill O'Reilly, the Daily Mail today in England, all of them are coming out against Charlie saying, how dare you attack the families, when I put Charlie in touch because he wanted to talk to him with Bob McElvain and others who are begging for this meeting with the president. Not just Charlie, but Charlie getting the meeting for them. That's what this has really all been about. That's part of the next phase of this that I'm kind of announcing now. There's a lot more you don't know, folks. But this was all done to put it on Obama's plate that he's covering up 9/11 and complicit in the torture and the secret arrests and everything Bush set up. He's continuing. O'Reilly, you're the pinhead. You're the guy who in the 80s made TV shows for Extra where you exposed that the government killed Kennedy and was involved in narcotics trafficking. You know what's going on. You're the guy that bullies your employees. You're the guy that is really a creepy person, if anybody's heard those tapes and seen those transcripts. You're the guy that threatened Charlie Sheen and basically said you're going to end up in the river if you make this loose change thing. And little do we know, you were threatening people for the White House, just like Beck and others have been in meetings with Bush, and that Mark Cuban was being threatened with being set up by the White House in emails and phone calls, now in the New York Times, if he put that movie out. Yes, we're engaging at point-blank range the New World Order, folks. We're in direct conversations with them. We're in direct confrontations with them. We're in direct, speaking directly to them, saying, we know your eugenics plan. We know your whole operation. We understand. We have your founding documents. We know your blueprint. And we're openly having a discussion with you, saying we're not going along with what you're doing. And they respect that. They totally disrespect people that aren't aware of what they're doing. They're very evil, though, and are basically like, well, if you know what's going on, you see how dumb the public are, why don't you just join us? You know, that's kind of the idea and the spirit of this. It's very, very evil. So we're actually having an effect, thinking big, thinking bold. Does it mean we're going to have total victory? No, but we may. But it doesn't matter. We have victory in resistance. Resistance is victory. O'Reilly, you're a political whore. You support the bailouts like Beck. And then when it becomes unpopular, you say you were never for it. And you're a pinhead. You try to hold up George Clooney, who you've bashed before, and say he's a hero But then Charlie Sheen's a pinhead, as if you are the grand judge, the white throne judgment, as if you're God. Here's a quick clip of that video last night.
On the pinhead front, actor Charlie Sheen, he's a bit out there on political matters. He continues to believe 9/11 was an American conspiracy.
America deserves better. I mean, come on. Come on, people. The 9/11 Commission report is a blatant mark of manipulation, secrecy, and fiction. Come on, the time is now. Demand the truth.
Mr. Sheen should get off at a serious offensive to those who lost loved ones on 9/11, and he is a pinhead.
You know, O'Reilly's dad was a New York cop that beat the living hell out of him, O'Reilly admits. He's a bully. We're not here to be bullied by you anymore. You understand? Now listen, I'm going live to the video of Charlie Sheen's video message to President Barack Obama on behalf of the 9/11 families who've asked Charlie to do what he's doing right now. This is a call to arms, a peaceful revolution and awakening for everybody to say, we're not going to allow you to use 9/11 for the police state, to use it for NORTHCOM against the American people, to dismantle and destroy our republic. And we're going to go to the town halls and the county commissioner meetings and the city councils and the senators meetings and to Obama's press conferences and his rallies and events. And 9/11 truth is coming out in full force. This is a full alert to come out and take action and get involved right now. Folks, I'm talking to you straight right now. I'm talking to you straight right now. Out there in TV land. Everybody on the web. Full alert. Get this video that we're about to play of Charlie Sheen off InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. It's going up right after we play this clip. And get it out to everyone. Make it go mega viral like nothing we've ever done before. This is the call to action. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen.
No warning signs that I'm aware of.
And it was a revelation that the White House had no intention of making public.
President Bush was told in August that Osama bin Laden might be planning an attack involving the hijacking.
Could have predicted.
Nobody in our government, at least.
August 6th, PDG.
I believe the title was bin Laden determined to attack inside the United States.
70% of family members' questions were never answered during the 9/11 Commission report.
Lee Hamilton and Thomas Keene said they were set up to fail.
I mean, I'm a member of the commission. It's a scam. It's absolutely disgusting.
The questions, Mr. President. The questions.
Building 7 ablaze at the moment and apparently getting ready to collapse.
Building 7, freefall collapse.
Well, no, there's number 7 coming down. The excitement and the fun that people get watching an old building being demolished, and they wired very carefully for days, and it's a very careful operation.
Third time today. It's reminiscent of those pictures we've all seen too much on television before when a building was deliberately destroyed by well-placed dynamite to knock it down.
This one of the things to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull, and then we watched the building collapse.
Jane, what more can you tell us about the Salomon Brothers building and its collapse?
Well, only really what you already know. Details are very, very sketchy.
We are getting information now that one of the other buildings, Building 7 in the World Trade Center complex, is on fire and has either collapsed or is collapsing.
The Pentagon. Vanishing airplane.
My close-up inspection, there's no evidence of a plane having crashed anywhere near the Pentagon. The only site is the actual side of the building that's crashed in. And as I said, the only pieces left that you can see are small enough that you could pick up in your hand. There are no large tail sections, wing sections, a fuselage, nothing like that anywhere around, which would indicate that the entire plane crashed into the side of the Pentagon.
Firefighters and police describing explosions. A lot of them.
The secondary explosion. We've got numerous people covered with dust from the secondary explosion.
Floor by floor, it started popping out.
It was like, it was as if they had detonated. As if they were planned to take down a building. Boom, 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 boom.
Looks sort of like the building just demolished.
Even if there was no secondary explosives in the building.
Kind of like gunfire. You know, bang, 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 bang. And then all of a sudden, three big explosions.
Do you know if it was an explosion or if it was a building collapse?
To me, it sounded like an explosion.
Chief Albert Turry told me that he tried to get his men out as quickly as he could, but he said that there was another explosion which took place. And then an hour after, there was another explosion in one of the towers here.
Sibel Edmonds, FBI translator, breaking her gag order.
All our intimate relationship with bin Laden and Taliban, we did carry very intimate relationship with these people all the way up to September 11.
Bin Laden was spirited into this military hospital in Rawalpindi for kidney dialysis treatment. The military had him surrounded. They were saying that Osama bin Laden had to be watched carefully and looked after.
NORAD standing down. Where were the planes?
On now to one of the eeriest moments amid the carnage of 9/11. A mysterious plane was seen flying right over the president's residence.
The E-4Bs over New York and Washington, otherwise known as the Doomsday Planes.
It has never been officially explained.
Cell phones working at impossible altitudes. Solicitor General Ted Olson receiving phone calls that the FBI says were never made.
What happened during that call? This is the only information we have on these terrorists.
She was able to call him twice. How she could pull that off, we don't know, but she did.
These are the questions, Mr. President. These are the questions. They go on and on.
Good afternoon, Mr. President. I come to you today representing the families of the victims of September 11th, as well as millions of my fellow Americans. Hopefully by now you've had a chance to read my letter to you, 20 minutes with the President, and if not, at least had its contents brought to your attention. We have questions, Mr. President. Lots of questions. A lot of them are detailed in my letter, but trust me, there are hundreds of more questions. As my letter chronicles, sir, the 9/11 Commission itself says they were lied to, deceived, and essentially prevented from carrying out a real investigation. The people of the United States and the world demand the truth, sir.
We have to continuously ask questions. That's what a patriot does. That's what a true American does. We ask questions.
You, sir, have the power as well as the responsibility to initiate a truly independent congressional investigation into the events of 9/11 as well as its aftermath. We want our country back, Mr. President. Therefore, I'm not just calling on you and your team. I'm calling on each and every American citizen to wake up, stand up, and demand the truth. We're counting on you, Mr. President. Be on the right side of history.
The highest form of patriotism, Thomas Jefferson.
Are you now saying that they weren't asking to block an investigation?
An investigation must not interfere with the ongoing efforts to prevent the next attack.
Senator Tom Daschle said last week that you called him several times and urged him not to investigate the events of September 11th.
Tom's wrong. He has, a misinterpretation.
Do you have trouble getting through the day? Do you feel tired and worn out?
Well, great job, Aaron Dykes. Out of the ballpark with that video. Absolutely out of the ballpark. Fabulous job. I directed it a bit, but Aaron did about 90% of the work. Just absolutely incredible job. We want that video to go completely mega viral. It's going up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com at the top of 20 minutes with the president. Just click on that banner. It should already be there for you. In fact, let's check that right now live on TV. Let's just click on 20 minutes with the president, see if we've got that up for everybody. The banner at the top of the site will take you right to it at Infowars.com. You just click on the banner, and there it is. 20 minutes with the president. Charlie Sheen's video message to President Obama is now up live right now. It is now live right now, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to go get that video and get it out to the four corners of the planet. But I'll tell you what else just completely blows me away. That you have Bill O'Reilly and the Daily Mail in England, their third biggest paper, and all these other publications now trying to go with the spin that he's hurting the families on the eve of the anniversary, when it's the government that did these attacks with its corporate masters that sucks off their dead spirits, that uses their murder to empower their police state and the destruction of every free society on earth, and to bring in NORTHCOM and Homeland Security brigades and 400,000 troops, all of it. And the Girl Scouts to work for Homeland Security and FEMA. That's AP, AFP, Reuters. Here's the article right here. U.S. Girl Scouts prepare for war, pestilence. The unveiling of the patch marks a partnership between the Scouts Citizens Corps, community-based initiative under DHS, Federal Emergency Management Agency, which coordinates national response to disasters. Girl Scouts of America, Chief Executive Kathy Collinger, said the tie-up with Citizens Corps provides an opportunity for our girls to lead the way in ensuring their families and their communities are prepared for emergencies. Yeah, your kids are going to tell you how to live your life. Remember that New York Times article? Not the New York Times article about the Boy Scouts being trained with machine guns to, quote, take on veterans and gun owners and saying how great it is. But the other one's about how the 7- and 8-year-olds are bossing their mothers around. Don't take a hot bath. It's bad for your carbon footprint. Remember that? The government is openly coming into the schools, teaching the kids how to spy on you openly. They started it with their phony drug war. They ship the drugs in, create the crisis, turn your kids into spies. Then it's for terrorism. And now carbon footprints. It's really happening. And the story, we haven't linked up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Obama Youth Homeland Security wants to recruit Girl Scouts. And everybody else, Boy Scouts, everything. They don't want to recruit them. It's already happening. And the establishment just denies it, denies it. They announce it with one hand, one side of their mouth, and out of the other side of their mouth, they say it's not happening every time we say we don't want it. They know how unpopular this is. They know how tyrannical this is. They know how bad this is. They know how out of control this is. I don't even know what to say anymore. I mean, this is just so off the charts. We're going to open the phones up on the healthcare takeover, Obama calling Congress liars, saying that illegal aliens get coverage, which they do. We just read the sections earlier with Dr. Blaylock. The open Bank of the World being announced, the open announcements that the dollar may turn into the Argentine dollar and be worthless, basically. The open police state unfolding, but then people also standing up in mass. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-259-9231, 1-800-259-9231. And, John, I want to come back with Krista Berg's Revolution. Did you find that in the computer? We're going to come in with that song for a couple minutes, then I'm going to go to your calls, 1-800-259-9231. And then Webster Tarpley pops in the next hour. Continue with phone calls. I want to get his take on 9/11 Truth Rising, all the other issues that are happening. And if you're a radio listener and don't have access to the internet, we're going to re-air for radio listeners the audio of Aaron Dyke's off-the-charts, incredibly powerful video that he produced. And I appreciate Charlie sitting down and doing it and having the idea to call for a meeting with the president. He wants to go with the 9/11 victims' families, and he's directly talking to the White House right now. Just leave it at that. We don't know what's going to happen right now. So much going on that it's making my head spin. We're going to be back after this quick break right here on the one, the only GCN Radio Network, simulcasting at PrisonPlanet.tv. If you don't have a PrisonPlanet.tv membership, it's 15 cents a day. Check it out. Takes 1 minute to sign up.
Wake up, boys, there's a light at the window. I can hear someone knocking on the door. There are voices in the street and the sound of running feet, and they whisper the word revolution. There are men coming down from the valleys. There are tall ships lying off the coast, and they carry the light in the dark of the night, like a whisper in the wind. Revolution. Bring my gun and a handful of silver. By the sea we will gather for the fight. It's been so many years, so many tears. We have lost once before, now we'll settle the score. When our cannons will roar, revolution!
They really are totally federalizing the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, the public schools. Here in Austin, they have TV ads that run for kids to turn their parents in. 8 years ago, 7.5 years ago, my film Road to Tyranny. It's really going on. It's really happening en masse. InfraGuard, 55,000 executives hired with shoot-to-kill orders on their employees if they don't go along with martial law. The clergy response teams, we broke that a year and a half before it was national news. Preachers trained to tell you to go to FEMA camps, take shots. The Gardasil shots really are killing girls and maiming and paralyzing them. They knew and are doing nothing. They're covering it up. It's all just amazing what's happening. The toll-free number to join us is 1-800-259-9231. And I guess Earl, Chris, and Chris and Justin and many others are up next. In fact, who's up first here, John? Chris in Tennessee, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. It is absolutely appalling what's going on in America. We don't have freedom of speech. I can't even talk in the break room at work without worrying about the boss writing me up or sending me home or giving me a bad work schedule.
Do me a big favor and turn your radio. Do me a favor and turn your radio off.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Because I'm getting some feedback. Yes, everywhere they're trying to chill speech. They're openly announcing a diversity czar in FCC. They say they're taking the web over. The Pentagon's openly taking the web over, openly announcing it under cybersecurity, openly saying that it's to restrict free speech. Openly telling people they're not allowed to criticize anything. You're not allowed to talk in church. They're telling them don't even talk with church members at lunch about politics. This country is in the middle of a Nazi / Soviet takeover.
Absolutely. Well, what people don't understand is this country was not founded on freedom of religion. Even though that's so, we want freedom of religion and speech and everything else. This country was founded on Christianity. Washington, Jefferson, all those Benjamin Franklin, they were Christians. Why do you think everything's written in stone in our court system, in God we trust, and then our money? We're in the middle of hell. It's ridiculous. And we don't.
So it worked. You're not, I mean, everybody else has their free speech as long as it's politically correct, but you're not allowed to speak in the break room?
That's exactly right. I can't express my opinions, not about, not anything racial even, just about anything that offends someone. Oh, no, 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 we can't have an...
And they decide what is offensive.
A serious talk.
Well, it's just like Obama can tell the congressman, you're being deceptive, you're lying about this being in the bill, and they go, no, you're lying, and then it's bad that they said, no, you're lying. I appreciate your call, Chris. It's not going to work, though. They're trying to buffalo America. They're trying to bushwhack us. They're trying to get us under their thumb. They're trying to break our spirit, make us capitulate to their tyranny, and it isn't going to work. Let's talk to Justin in Arkansas. Justin, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex. How you doing?
Good.
I wanted to call. I've been trying to call you, actually, for months. I'm sure you got a whole bunch of calls.
Well, that's, you're on the air now. Good to talk to you.
Yeah. Well, I'm Native American, and the FBI has been harassing me and my wife and kids. And telling me they're going to take my kids away because my aunt, I have an aunt that used to go to a church that they're looking for all the kids around the country. And I don't know where she's at. And so basically the FBI said they know that I am a, what is it? The word?
Person of interest.
No, they said that I am a... it sounded something like right out of Soviet, or I'm a conspirator, or I can't think of the word right now.
Conspirator?
Yeah, something like that. And
well, I mean, it's on record that the FBI, it's been all over the news, comes to people and say, you're going to falsely testify in court or we're going to take your kids. And yes, it is so corrupt. What corrupted our police was first prohibition, making alcohol illegal. They all got bought off by the mob. Then they made drugs illegal. The CIA brings most of them in or has sub-distributors. That got corrupt policing because there's so much money involved. And I just had a member of parliament on over there where if you question the government in any way, they openly say they take your kids as punishment.
They said that, what they said was I was a sympathizer with
the sympathizer.
Church. Yeah, and so they would, if they had any trouble out of me, they were going to take my kids away. And I'm Native American. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of the Native American...
Resettlement?
Child Right Act, something like that. Native American Child's...
Yes, right. I'm aware of it. Go ahead.
So, yeah, basically, it's illegal for them to take Native American kids.
Well, yeah, they had to pass a law saying, don't do it, sir, I appreciate your call, because they do it. George Bush Sr., when he was in the Nixon administration for two of the 6 years... He was also CIA chief, separately UN ambassador, ambassador to China. It was his job sterilizing 42%, that's what he got done, of all Native women. They just came, picked you up, family court, sterilized you. And they'd say, you let us do this surgery or we're taking your kids. And then they would go and sterilize them. That's mainstream news. That's also in my film Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. And yes, I know that with the minority groups, they set the precedence to abuse them first because the precedent was set over 100 and really 200 years ago that natives have no rights. Because, oh, look, they're ignorant. You know, you can buy New York for a bucket of beads, for a chest of beads, for wampum. You know, look, we got some glitter for you. And they, you know, the Indians didn't really have anything of ownership over land. They said, sure, you can fish here if you give me this big bucket of brushes and nails and beads and things the Indians like to trade. And so, yes, the family court set up 135 years ago, roughly in England, the last 100 years in the U.S., openly are eugenics courts. We have the newsreels, clips from the put out on movie theaters by the government where it shows them taking people's children. If you're poor, they come and take you and sterilize you. But they did it to whites, blacks, everybody, basically. But it's unbelievable. It really is unbelievable. And this is how they control populations. It's the British model of the concentration camp. Andrew Jackson's mother and brother died in a concentration camp. But as they were dying, they loaded them on a wagon and took them back home. That was their thing. They would almost kill you on the prison ship, starving you for 3 or 4 months. Then they bring you back, dump you off on shore to die. They took his mom and brother back to die there on the doorstep. They died, I think his mother 2 weeks later, his brother a few days after. Of course, his dad had died when they first moved into, what was it, South Carolina. And his dad was a big, strong, strapping guy and cleared with just an axe some huge amount of acreage in just a few months and then collapsed and died when Andrew Jackson was still in his mother's womb. But there I go off into a side note. And then Andrew Jackson, when he was 12, was running messages for the rebellion. And this famous colonel came in and told him, you know, lick my boots, clean my boots. And Jackson said no. So he pulled out his saber and slashed him across the face from the back of his head all the way to his chin. That's why he had that big scar. Somebody's got to make a movie about that guy's life. I mean, it's unbelievable. Talk about Conan the Barbarian. I mean, that life is just that's the real Conan the Barbarian. Is Andrew Jackson. I mean, you talk about something that, I mean, if you put everything he did in a movie, people wouldn't believe it. And side issue, though. That's the guy that was leading Davy Crockett and all those people and Sam Houston, and they'd have arrows sticking out of them. I mean, it was just absolute swashbuckling like you couldn't imagine. And he did a lot of bad stuff to the natives. What he learned from the British. So he was an interesting character. But you have to look at him in the history and the time he was in. At that time, they had huge Indian tribes merging that had weapons given to them by the French and British in different wars. They would pour down out of Illinois and out of Canada, sometimes 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 to 1, the Native Americans. And, of course, their cause was just as well. But it was a fight where the whites were losing most of the time. That's why all the Hollywood movies you see set in the 1860s, 70s, 80s, where they're out west just wiping Indians out, it was because most of those people had family members killed in the Indian Wars. See, you never see that in Hollywood, though, about the real Indian Wars, folks. I mean, it was groups of Indians, groups of natives with the Americans, and groups of natives with the French, and groups of natives with the British, and it was just absolute bedlam and natives killing natives and just total slaughter and constant wars. And so it isn't what Hollywood puts out. It isn't the image Hollywood puts out. But then by the time that the whites were truly in control by the 1870s or so, they did engage in genocide and crimes unspeakable. And I'm against what they're doing to the natives currently right now. And I fight for native rights and I fight for the Lakota Nation. You have to understand it all in a historical perspective. Okay, I said I'd take calls, and I went off the deep end there. Let's go ahead and talk to Mark in Oregon. Mark, you're on the air.
Good morning, Alex. How you doing?
Oh, man, did you just hear that Charlie Sheen piece?
Yes, sir. And I'm, just as you are, and I think that all people that love freedom and liberty and want to see an end to this tyranny, it's evolving into something that is going to be insurmountable if it continues on as it is in a very short time frame, I believe. Charlie has really put himself out there with everything he's got, as you do, sir. Alex, I know that this is 9/11 coming up tomorrow. I realize that 9/11 is the talk of the town, so to speak, the talk of the country, perhaps the talk of the world at this point around this date and time, even though it's been 8 years now. But I remember last April when the flu pandemic, so to speak, first raised its ugly, evil head, and how I felt, and I sense that you felt the same way, that there was a dark curtain being lowered over freedom and liberty, that we were very close at that time. You lost one or two of your main websites, that they were all.
No, we were definitely officially hacked. That was 100% certified.
They were ready to shut everything down. They can do that again. I feel that this is what, in their dark, evil layers of the low and mighty, that they're actually laughing at everything that we do around 9/11, everything that everyone says about the truth of it over the last 8 years right up to today, including Charlie Sheen, because they have this tremendous flu pandemic ace in the hole card, which is going to shut everything down, and none of it will matter as far as other areas of dissension such as 9/11 are concerned. And I think that they figured they've already got the game won, and that the attention that needs to be drawn to the poison that's in these vaccinations should be the number one priority. Because
I hear you, and I appreciate your call. I mean, we've been having doctors on two or three times a week. I talked about it yesterday. I've broken it down. I've warned people I don't want to say we've had a victory, but they were saying they were going to vaccinate everybody forcibly. Now they've backed off and say only 50 million people. They are setting up all the martial law stuff in place. And we've warned the public and police and firemen and medical workers and nurses. The majority in all these news articles and polls are saying they're not taking it. So I'm not saying we're out of the woods, but we're in the fight here. And we've got to expose false flag terror. We've got to expose the youth brigades. We've got to expose the new Bank of the World, the plunging dollar. We've got to, I mean, you know, this show's a four-hour show. I'm here covering all the issues. And I'm hitting it all as quick and as fast and as good as I can. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. But I do hear your points. Let's talk to Dustin in Illinois. Dustin, go ahead.
How's everybody doing?
Good.
Yeah, I've both seen you on NWO documentary, and I've been listening to you ever since. My wife's grandma, she was in the hospital. They diagnosed her with cancer. She's 97 years old. She has not had any vaccinations since she was a kid. My wife told me about it. I said, that's not true. You know, she hasn't had any vaccinations. She can't have cancer. And I insisted that they do another check. They checked it. It turned out to be scar tissue.
Well, that's great. Yeah, I've seen numbers of as much as 45% of the time. Happened to my grandmother. Scar tissue in a lung, cut her lung out, messed her heart up, ended up killing her a few years later. I've got one precious grandmother left. And they tried to chop a bunch of her off. She said no, and she's alive 3-4 years later. And it turned out it wasn't really what they said. All of this goes on. But no, you can get cancer without taking vaccines. I mean, that happens to all mammal species. It's just the prevalence of cancer has gone from 1 in 33 in the 50s to 1 in 3. It's about to be 1 in 2 getting cancer and dying from it. So it's toxins in the environment, it's vaccines, it's a cocktail of things. But that's great news that it turned out it was scar tissue.
Another thing, I was going to school for law enforcement, and my instructions teacher, he showed us a video about eugenics.
Hold on, stay there. I want to come back to you after this quick break. I'm trying to get an update right now from Charlie Sheen. Stay with us. With Obama was about saying it was about unity, but the globalists and their great game of divide and conquer want division. That's why they inject the race term. When you don't want to turn your guns in, when you don't want your kids turned into government spies, when you don't want trillions and trillions of dollars a month given to foreign offshore banks, they then bully you, injecting race into it. And I hear talk show callers, especially black folks, calling in thinking everybody's racist and doesn't like Obama because he happens to be 6.5% African. Yeah, his dad hailed as an Arab. So we have our first Arab American president. Fine. It isn't about him. He's a puppet. Going back to Dustin in Illinois. Dustin, you're saying you were going to law enforcement school, what, taking a college course in criminology or law enforcement or justice? Where was this and what did they say about eugenics?
It was my corrections teacher. He had shown a video to us about eugenics. And I remember him saying Hitler got the idea from us.
Well, then it sounds like he was a good guy. Was he showing you one of my films?
No, I didn't even hear of you until that documentary NWO came out.
Well, it sounds like he was good then. I mean, was he saying this was bad?
Yeah, he was just talking about...
See, that's why I've apologized, Because I only saw the videos of cops beating people up on TV and cops doing me wrong at demonstrations. Now I realize on the streets and in emails and calls that the majority of police, because they know what's going on, they're on the inside, are just as freaked out as we are. That's why we've got a real hope here. Ron Paul got more contributions from the military than he got than anybody else got. So that's the good news, is that the people in the inside know what's happening in many cases.
He was just saying that Hitler got the idea from us.
No, that's true.
Just destroying and just pretty much telling us that the system is corrupt and there's nothing we can do about it, pretty much. He was a real good teacher.
Was this in college?
Yes, this was in college class at a community college.
Oh, so he was a professor. But was he a former police officer?
He was chief of police for a little bit. He did work for Illinois State Police, too.
Well, I tell you, I appreciate your call. I mean, listen, I'll be in a restaurant in Austin. I'll be in a sporting goods place. And almost every time, I'll be at Luby's, you know, a cafeteria by myself eating something real quick. And cops walk over and they go, "Hey, Alex, want to shake your hand? Can I have your autograph?" In the last four flights, back and forth to California, actually six flights, four of the six times going and coming, I've had the TSA ask for autographs and shake my hand, and I couldn't believe it the first couple times, and it's like, we all know, and we understand what's going on, Alex, and my supervisor's a huge fan, and you know, our commander's a huge fan, and I'm like, and then I walk through the gate to fly out of L.A. This only happened once where I had the TSA were fans, two of them. Everyone I ran into, like the person taking my ticket, checking it, was a fan. Then I'm walking through the scanner. They go, "Like what you're doing." And I'm going, "Huh?" And then there's LAPD over by an on-the-border Mexican food restaurant. And they come over and say, "Hey, Alex, like what you're doing." And I'm like, Twilight Zone music is playing. I mean, I had no idea how big this show has gotten. Praise God. We'll be right back. Webster Griffin Tarpley with us. We're going to open the phones up coming up at the bottom of the hour for those that are holding. We've aired the world-exclusive Charlie Sheen video last hour. It's up at Infowars.com. It's up at PrisonPlanet.com. It's above the 20 minutes of the letter, President, 20 minutes with the President letter. It's there. And he is a call to arms in the Infowar, a peaceful revolution of 9/11 truth and understanding false flag terror. We believe they're getting ready to stage more events, and now is the time to expose it. The video is titled Charlie Sheen's Video Message to President Obama. And this is an attempt, and it's having a big effect. Hundreds of newspapers, I can't even count them all, from the Houston Chronicle to the LA Times, the Times of London to the Daily Mail to the New York Post to U.S. News and World Report to Fox News. Now they're talking about Charlie Sheen saying 9/11 is an inside job. They're trying to misrepresent what he said, trying to say the families don't like it when his letter's actually about the families and what they're saying. And how six of the 10 commission members said the whole investigation was a whitewash and a fraud. This is a mass movement. Just like Tarpley always talks about national strikes. That's what this is. Charlie's saying, go out tomorrow in all your cities with banners for 9/11 truth. Go to town halls. Inject that into the discussion. Inject into the discussion that Obama's continuing the torture, secret arrest, indefinite detention, took 50,000 U.S. troops out of Iraq, put 50,000 more contractors in, sent the 50,000 troops to Afghanistan and Pakistan. It's an incredible letter he's written to capture the imagination of people, but now he's put out the interviews, the live interviews, the video. It's incredible. Webster Tarpley, my friend, author of Synthetic Terror, documenting the 9/11 inside job. Good to have you here with us.
Thank you, Alex. Good
what
to
do
be
you
here.
What do you think of Charlie and mine's initiative here?
Well, I think it's very timely. I think we can put what Charlie Sheen has done together with Cindy Sheehan, going to Martha's Vineyard to confront Obama on the question of the Afghan war. And I think what it might mean for us now is to revive this entire area of activism, which has tended to decline over the last year or so. What I mean by that is this: the 9/11 truth movement and the anti-war movement were artificially separated, and this was mostly the guilt, I think, of left liberals who refused to entertain what they called conspiracy theories. And of course, it's just ridiculous. So it meant that they were banned from looking at the thing that Bush and Cheney were always citing as the basis for everything they did, which were the 9/11 attacks. So the 9/11 truth movement, in its better moments, always tried to merge with the anti-war movement, saying, "Look, you know, you guys need a head." Or the 9/11 truth movement always represented the anti-war movement with a brain. Now what we've had is, with the coming of Obama, the left liberal foundation-funded anti-war movement has basically dried up. They've gone away. They've quit. They're not interested in this huge war in Afghanistan that's escalating every day, and they're not interested in the fact that you've still got 120,000 GIs in Iraq. And I think what is possible now is the people who are still concerned about 9/11, because all of those, the networks that did 9/11 are still honeycombing and infesting the Pentagon, the CIA, the DIA, the NSA, and all these other agencies, because that's how it was carried out. The people who are concerned about that can now, I think, reassert the political relevance of this if you combine it with the anti-Afghan war ferment, which is big, and it's big worldwide, right? It's breaking out in Germany over this latest horrendous atrocity of killing 100 people around a tanker truck. So what I see is, it's time to assert 9/11 truth combined with U.S. get out of Iraq and get out of Afghanistan. In other words, liquidate the premise and liquidate the consequences that Obama has now been pushing in his Phoenix speech of a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, that's all Obama is doing, is papering over all the resistance that was mounting against these imperial wars. His job is to pacify the left and to inject race-pimping division in. We'll talk about that with Webster Tarpley when we get back.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, what Charlie Sheen has done through this radio show and through you spreading the word has put 9/11 truth front and center on the eve of 9/11, the 8-year anniversary of that staged terror attack. And as Webster has said many times, we must take the tool of false flag terror and we must expose it. We must break it in front of their faces, to quote him. We must inoculate the public to understand psychologically and intellectually how staged terror attacks work, or the establishment will continue to stage attacks over and over and over again to get their agenda through. Webster, the foundation left was always there to control the left so that wars and the movements against wars could be hamstrung. Now I have the George Soros Media Matters and all the other publications he openly is the number one funder of, along with the Rockefeller Foundation, attacking me, saying there's no youth corps, no youth brigades, there's no police state, there's no Northcom. I mean, just total lying and deception. How long can this work? How long can they keep the anti-war movement pacified as Obama admittedly takes 50,000 troops, as I said, out of Iraq, puts them in Afghanistan, and then puts 50,000 more contractors in Iraq, actually boosting the number, and then sends a bunch of contractors to Afghanistan. I mean, this is a massive ballooning in the war, and the average liberal bumbling around out there thinks the war is over.
Well, the question of how long they can get away with it is the question of when will a mass movement to stop it emerge, because that's the only way that these things are going to happen. Thanks to Charlie Sheen coming forward with this, and thanks to Cindy Sheehan, we've got the Sheen-Sheehan cooperation, I think, going on. You've got a revival of the anti-war movement, and now we've got the revival of the of the 9/11 truth movement. But the question is, what is that going to lead to? Obama is literally getting away with unbelievable crimes. And the difference, of course, is that he does it all under left cover, not under the overtly racist militarist slogans of Bush and Cheney. But the question is, that's got to be translated into boots on the ground. In other words, I think the big thing we would need now is obviously whatever can be done this week to commemorate 9/11 to keep this question alive. But I think the larger thing as the autumn goes on is in October, November, there are various peace demonstrations, anti-Afghan war demonstrations scheduled here for Washington, among other things. The problem is we've got, for example, we've got one group wants to come to town on October 5th and 6th, which I think turns out to be a Monday. And, of course, if you want to have a serious demonstration, you've got to have it on a Saturday so people can come to it. So I think what you've got is some of these anti-war organizations are trying to cover themselves, saying, yeah, well, we had a demonstration, but not enough people came, except that they're scheduling it on Monday when they know very well that most people can't come because most people have to work. So I think what we've got to press for is mass action to end these wars, but again, get rid of this crippling flaw which we had previously in 06 and 07, which was that the anti-war movement refused to entertain 9/11 truth, at least at the level of the leaders, and bring these back together so that the question of forcing the U.S. out of Afghanistan and Iraq is completely merged with 9/11, because, again, it's the premise, it's the reason that Bush always cited, and now Obama has cited again. That speech in Phoenix about 2.5 weeks ago was unbelievable. He was channeling Bush and Cheney. This was his biggest public embrace of the 9/11 myth, which was something that he stayed away from. He previously wanted to cultivate his left cover much more, but this time he came out and it was a stunning embrace of the entire bankrupt reasoning of Bush and Cheney. And
well, let me ask you a question here, though, Webster. We see all these 9/11 truth hit pieces in National Geographic, PBS, you name it, coming out. We see all these hit pieces in the news. We see the going after Van Jones, not for all the legitimate bad things he wanted, but on 9/11 truth to create a peer pressure illusion that 9/11 truth is very unpopular, when in the polls show it's the opposite. So the establishment is attacking 9/11 truth now more than it's done the last 3-4 years. Why do you think that's happening now? I think it's, and I know it's because they realize it is a real substantive challenge. They hoped it would fully dissipate when Bush left and it was only kind of a leftist angle, which it wasn't from its foundation. It was populist against Bush, but instead it continued to grow and get more scholarly and scientific. So I see the establishment seeing it as a major threat.
Well, it's a major threat because Obama needs it more to maintain his reasoning around Afghanistan. In other words, Obama is now the warmonger that we always said he was. In other words, he ran as a warmonger. He promised the unilateral bombing of Pakistan, the invasion of Pakistan, in effect, and he promised to escalate the Afghan war, and he's now doing that, and this is turning into a disaster. In other words, the casualties in July were the worst that they've been in the whole 8 years since 9/11, and now August is even worse, and September is presumably going to be even worse than August. You've got photographs of soldiers getting killed. You've got this horrendous tanker truck bombing incident. So this entire policy is in tremendous crisis. As Obama gets weaker and weaker in his ability to justify the slaughter, Obama's going to have to go back and say, well, remember, the reason for this is 9/11. And that's what he did in Phoenix. He said, if we don't occupy Afghanistan and defeat the Taliban, then there will be a new 9/11. So Obama has announced a new 9/11 in that unbelievable Phoenix speech. So the only way that you can stop that, again, is to refute it. I would point above all to this question of MIHOP. In other words, I think this has become clearer over the years. There are various schools of 9/11 analysis, and the only one that gets you anywhere is the MIHOP one, the made it happen on purpose. In other words, intelligence community networks, privately controlled, but crisscrossing the agencies of the federal government, right, reaching from the Pentagon to the DIA to the CIA to the NSA to the FBI and so forth. as has been shown in a number of studies, including my own and your work, too. This is where it came from. In other words, this came from the bowels of the U.S. intelligence community and not from some crazy cave in the Hindu Kush. Well, that's the only knowledge that's worth anything.
Sure, go ahead.
All the other approaches, whether you believe in the official version or you have unanswered questions or you believe in blowback, which is what Obama went with at the time, right? If you look in my book, my Obama biography, Obama wrote about 9/11, you know, in the immediate aftermath, and what he said about it was more or less what Jeremiah Wright said, was that it was your blowback, it was your punishment.
Chickens coming home to roost.
Yeah, it's your punishment for being an imperialist. And when you bomb them, they bomb you. And the problem is that's not how it happened. That's just not true. It didn't come from them.
Okay,
or IHOP. In other words, the people who say somebody let it happen on purpose. This is all the same, ultimately. There's no difference in any of that, because it all assumes that there really is a terror organization. They really want to come and kill you, and they can if you let them. So you better fight them or fight them better or whatever it is. So it came out of the intelligence community of the United States through maneuvers, through drills. And my count on the drills, which I've updated some months ago, it's 25-plus drills happening on 9/11, recently concluded, or in advanced stages of preparation. So that's how you begin looking for what's going to happen next.
Webster, can you hear me?
Sure.
Okay, I wanted to make sure you can hear me. I wanted to shift gears. The establishment is definitely threatened by our Charlie Sheen event because we were later sent internal emails and things. I'm not going to give the folks attention. That big online so-called, you know, conspiracy type websites were coordinating saying attack Alex Jones, attack the Sheen thing, telling their minions to do it and then telling them to kind of misrepresent and even going with slogans against me. And we saw this within hours of us launching the Charlie Sheen story. So there is no doubt that the establishment is threatened by this.
Congratulations. I think, it's a badge of honor to be so high on their enemies list, because they do have an enemies list, right? We're back to Nixon, right? You can say Obama brings together the economy of a Carter, the lost wars of an LBJ, but also the internal security practices and secret intelligence dirty tricks of a Nixon. Obviously, as this all deteriorates, in other words, the economy is linked to Afghanistan, and that's obviously practically the same thing as 9/11 truth. As all of the lies begin to deteriorate and the credibility of this whole regime collapses, then I think a lot of that is going to fall away. And, you know, that famous progression, right? First they ignore you, then they ridicule you, then they attack you, and so forth, right? So you're moving along that continuum.
Well, that brings me to my next point. They're openly are setting up national forced conscription operations. It's in the bills. It's in the announcements. The Girl Scouts to work under FEMA in anti-terror, leading the families, so our little girls. And then they say the Boy Scouts in the New York Times are training to, quote, take on disgruntled veterans with guns and seek and destroy. And then they're also openly announcing that they have Green Brigade kids that are going home from school telling their mothers they, quote, can't have a hot bath, their carbon footprint's too big. I mean, they're pulling all the stops out.
Yeah, I think there's a tremendous effort by the Obama people to keep that going. At the same time, though, I think the erosion of Obama, right, his collapse in the polls and the emergence of various counter-movements makes this harder to do. And one of the main things that makes it harder is the simple revelation of the fact that Obama is this total Wall Street puppet. For example, everybody is asking, why doesn't Obama mobilize his supporters on this healthcare stuff? Well, he can't do it because his program is so devoted to Wall Street and insurance company interests that he can't get people to go out on the street for him.
Got a break. Absolutely. It's a bait and switch. They say it's socialism. It really isn't even that. It's just a total raping. We're going to talk about his collapse when we... Your calls are coming up in the next segment at 1-800-259-9231. Somebody's been arrested outside an Obama event with a gun. Man with gun arrested during Obama address, U.S. Capitol Police. Arrested a Virginia man who they say tried to get into a secure area into the Capitol with a gun in his car. Oh, in his car. That means they were searching cars and found a gun as the president gave his health care address. But the government can have all its guns, but citizens with guns, that's scary. Webster, there's so many points to talk about. Obama is plunging, and you said, and you were right, that that was the key to really expose him as a fraud in his first couple hundred days. The Obama deception's gone a long way towards doing that. Everybody's activism has. The fact that he lies about everything has done that. They're now saying, call him anything, say he's lying, disagree with him in any way, you're a racist. They're cold-bloodedly, Chris Matthews and others, injecting racial division. Aren't they the racist? Aren't they the people using divide and conquer?
Completely discredited press whores and media whores whose devotion to Obama and whose corruption is now legendary. And there's also this interesting story that General Electric, which runs NBC and MSNBC and quite a bunch of other things, that they actually have these dirty deals for patronage with the Obama administration. So you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. We'll give you positive press and you steer various contracts and various kinds of government patronage our way. I would just like to go back to this question of 9/11 and the Afghan war, because these were planned together. And one of the things I have discovered in research is this Unified Vision 2001, and maybe this can point up what we're dealing with. Unified Vision 2001 was a multi-agency exercise May 7th to May 24th, 2001. And the scenario for this, you're going to hear, it's basically the planning of the attack on Afghanistan. The scenario was a global deployment into a landlocked country with hostile terrain, lack of basing agreements with neighboring countries. Remember, they had to threaten Pakistan with
They were already massing U.S. troops in the area months before.
Right, and that's under this exercise, Unified Vision 2001. So one of the directors of this exercise says the real events similar to the Unified Vision scenario unfolded in the attacks of September 11th. And one of them says, Nostradamus couldn't have nailed the first battle of the next war any closer than we did. This time we got it right. So they go seamlessly from the drill into the actual war. So the drill goes live. Now, when you see not one of those, but a couple of dozen, because that's what you have. We don't have time to go through them all now. This shows that the 9/11 attacks and this geopolitical assault on Afghanistan in particular, these were planned as part of the same package. So you've got to reject both of them. And I would say to 9/11 people, make this Afghanistan question your cause, and certainly the anti-war people, if you don't have 9/11 truth going for you, then you can't defeat Obama's continued demagogy that somehow this godforsaken landlocked country on the other side of the world is an immediate threat, whereas other failed states, for some reason, Somalia and several others that are in more or less the same condition, they don't seem to represent the same thing. What is it? Is it something to do with the fact that Pakistan is an energy corridor and Afghanistan is where Russia and China and India and Eurasia all come together? It's sort of the hub of the Eurasian landmass, right? The heartland, as these old geopolitics guys used to say. So this is what you're dealing with. And one other interesting thing, if people saw this this movie about the plot to kill Hitler, right, the Valkyrie, you see the same idea. If you see von Stauffenberg and his group of co-workers, right, they want to overthrow Hitler. And how did they do it? They did it under Operation Valkyrie. In other words, they took an existing operation that was, sanctioned and on the books and had been drilled, and they redirected it. And they redirected it, in this case, against Hitler, at least they tried to. So this simply shows again and again and again that operations of this size and this magnitude that have to use government assets for the purposes of this private
They must
network,
be bootlegged, and they use drills right. or giant operations as the cover.
And you just see this again and again and again.
Well, we saw this with the flu in January for mass graves, mass arrest, hardening of government compounds, getting ready to put troops on the streets. They were telling them, this drill is our cover for what's really going to happen in the fall. Do you think they're still planning to use the flu as some type of police state cover?
I think there are any number of possibilities now. There's always this question of economic breakdown crisis. There are all kinds of public health emergencies of this kind or of other kinds. And then on top of that, you've got other things. For example, if you look at the group in power, an explosion in a nuclear reactor would, I think, be very, very welcome to some of these people. So I think you've got to basically learn
Hold
the lesson
on. You're
of 9/11.
Triangulating that they would do that to also shut down nuclear power, create some event to get their green takeover. Stay with us. I agree with you. Webster's just with us for five more minutes. I'm going to go right to your phone calls, everybody that's patiently holding. Don't forget, Charlie Sheen's special video message to President Barack Obama is now up at PrisonPlanet.tv. It's now up on YouTube. We have it linked all over InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. This is an alert. Please give it to your old email list. Please put it on MySpace. Please send it all over YouTube. Please show it to your coworkers. Email it to the White House website over and over again, WhiteHouse.gov. Because this is only phase one in what we're doing. I'll just leave it at that. But this is so vitally important, and it's a stunningly well-done video by Aaron Dykes, and the information is penetrating that Charlie Sheen brings up. It's one of the best six-minute videos we've ever put out, and it's Charlie Sheen on video requesting this, and this will get major media attention. We're also in the next few hours going to put up a version that doesn't have all the bells and whistles and video clips just for news media to use it to get it out on TV. And we're going to put out a press release. In fact, I forgot. Paul Watson, I need you to do that press release. Charlie Sheen demands Obama reopen 9/11 investigation. We need to have Charlie Sheen issues or releases video message to President Obama asking that he meet with Charlie Sheen and family members, victims of 9/11. I mean, that's basically the type of headline we need. In fact, I need to call Watson back because Paul's already got the basic press release up that we're going to send out. People don't really read the whole letter. It says that the family members have asked him to do this, and he's wanting Obama to at least meet with them. It isn't just about Charlie Sheen meeting with the president. Going back to Webster Tarpley, Webster, continue with the line that you were breaking down there.
Well, the 25-plus drills on the one side, and I think this is really, it's important because if you don't get to the level of MIHOP, that's made it happen on purpose, you don't have any knowledge of permanent value. In other words, to learn something about 9/11 that prepares you to deal with the next round and the next round and future events, you've got to get to this level of made it happen on purpose, the key role of the drills, right? You've also got to become familiar with concepts like the patsies, the moles, the technicians, right, the professional killers, and so forth, because it's synthetic terror because it's all kinds of elements that come together to create this illusion of the terrorist event and the interpretation they want to give to it. The other side, of course, in terms of the reopening the investigation, I think one important point is what Cain and Hamilton, the two bosses of the 9/11 Commission, admitted, I think around the time of the fifth anniversary, I think, or maybe the sixth, but certainly they admitted it, was that the Air Force witnesses, the Larry Arnolds and the other people from the Northeast Air Defense Sector in Rome, New York, had committed massive perjury in front of the Commission concerning the timelines, concerning the deployment of the interceptor aircraft, and basically lied about everything. So this is in the public domain. Governor Kane of New Jersey and Lee Hamilton, former congressman from Indiana, came out and they wrote this book called Unprecedented, where they said, oh yes, at the end we were aware that the Air Force generals had committed massive perjury, and we had a special meeting of our commission. What should we do about it? Should we give criminal referrals to the Justice Department? And then we thought, no, that wouldn't be good for the country. That would be too inflammatory. So we decided to let the inspectors general of the various government agencies handle it. And, of course, they duly came out in a year or so and said, we're not going to do anything because there's no reason to. So this entire official version is shot full of holes. I mean, it's a mockery. It's a bad joke. So there would be plenty of reason. Now, I would say don't get your hopes up about Obama, but it is important to strip away this left credibility that he has, at least with some people. If you take away his left cover, the guy can't function. So the best way to attack him is precisely like this, to attack him on 9/11 in Afghanistan and challenge him to liquidate this stuff left over from Bush, because he is increasingly inseparable from Bush. He's indistinguishable. The policies are exactly the same, only the slogans change a little bit. And once you point that out, then you really have him, and that's when he begins to suffer politically on that flank as well.
Absolutely. But as he collapses even faster than we predicted he would, I don't see them being able to continue their operations without staging terror or starting a new war. And that leads me to the Jerusalem Post, what we started the show with today. Kremlin official confirms prime minister's trip. A senior Kremlin official confirmed Wednesday to a Russian paper that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu did indeed take a clandestine trip to Russia on Monday. Commenting on the visit, the official said that this kind of development could only be related to new and threatening information on Iran's nuclear program. The Russian newspaper quoted experts speculating that such a trip only could be justified under extraordinary circumstances, for example, in the case of Israel planning to attack Iran. We have the RAND Corporation document a year ago where they're saying we need to stage some type of event or have a huge World War III scenario to get the global banking system in place. We have open talk in major publications this week like the Associated Press with top economists saying we may have Argentine type devaluation the next year, that it's a probability. We have gold and other commodities exploding. We have this whole constellation of things developing right now, Webster. They've got so many false flags in the hopper. Stage terror, blowing up nuclear reactors. I want you to speak to why that's a good idea for them. I agree with you. New wars, financial collapses. I mean, everything's coming into place right now. And it appears the government, being controlled by foreign corporate interest, has just decided to go into full gear and just doesn't care.
My idea was always that the Obama foreign policy would be different from Bush-Cheney in a couple of important areas.
You said it would be bigger and worse.
And especially in regard to Iran. In other words, the Bush-Cheney effort was indeed to bomb Iran, to try to destroy it, and also to send in special forces teams and subversion teams and so forth. With Obama, you could see that there was this attempt to have a color revolution, in other words, to overthrow the existing Ahmadinejad regime and replace that with a CIA puppet government led by this Mousavi, with Rafsanjani, the corrupt bazaar merchant faction, sitting in the background. That doesn't look like it's going anywhere. And I think right now you're in an area where the original strategic plan of Obama seems to be breaking down in quite a number of ways. So we may indeed now be in an area of, what can we call it, anomie, right? We don't know what's coming next. And rather than having a policy thrust coming from Brzezinski and Obama, it may be that we're into this area of drift and chaos. And under those circumstances, maybe some of these older neocon tendencies are going to reassert themselves. I wouldn't jump to the conclusion that Netanyahu is going to Moscow for that. There could be other reasons. I mean, one of the things you see was this big move by Saudi Arabia to open up a dialogue with Russia, and we've just had another Saudi prince, the former ambassador here in Washington, Tarki, I think his name is, Prince Tarki, just said, Obama, you're a demagogue. Stop demagoguing about energy independence. Stop insulting us. We're sick of it. So I think there's a lot of friction between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia, and that could possibly have some relation to the entire U.S.
strategic
position.
You were on a month ago with us and were correct in saying that there was that major friction and that they'd arrested Bondar and all this, and certainly that all came out later. Webster, we carry all four of your books, the Economic Cataclysm book, your two books on Obama and Synthetic Terror, all available at InfoWars.com on the secure online video bookstore shopping cart. I want to really thank you for joining us. We look forward to talking
to
you again.
Always a pleasure, Alex. Thank you.
Thank you for popping in with us for the last 40 minutes. Now, I want to go to your calls. I promised I wanted to get to some more calls. WC, Gary, Tony, Jose, John, we're going to get to you here in just a moment. I did want to just here on the show point out to everybody that this transmission is funded by your financial support. And we ask, we're not like the government that comes with tax men and at the barrel of a gun makes you give us money. We're asking you to go buy the books and videos and T-shirts and bumper stickers and materials that we have, wristbands that say Infowars.com, 9/11 is an inside job. That's how we fund our operation. Plus, we carry, I believe, the best material, the best books and videos I've seen out there, 24 of my films. Camp FEMA is about to start shipping. If you want to get that new film available at Infowars.com, please think about that today and supporting us by going to Infowars.com. Or if you're not on the computer or don't want to order something on the computer, you can call toll-free and talk to our operators. They can tell you about the different discounts and specials. It's 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. And, of course, you can also support us and see the live TV show and have it archived and higher quality audio from the radio archived. And my book, Paul Watson's book, all my films in super high quality. It's up 5.5 years and running. It's PrisonPlanet.tv. Also, a few of the other outside sponsors that have made today's show possible are folks like MySolarBackup.com. That's MySolarBackup.com, one word. A lot of things can cut off your electrical power, hurricanes, snow, ice storms, etc. Listeners should move towards getting off the grid, and here's a good way to do just that. A solar power generator is now available from our longtime sponsor, Solutions from Science. You can get an emergency power backup kit, which consists of the power source 1,800-watt generator and a high-efficiency solar panel designed to provide endless electricity. Remember, too, that gas generators need gas, but in a blackout, gas pumps can't pump gas because they run on electricity. It's the perfect emergency backup for troubled times. The government doesn't own the sun yet, folks, so make your move today, mysolarbackup.com or 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Great little unit. Also, Front Sight. You can get a free Springfield Armory XD pistol in the caliber of your choice. You can find out about that offer at frontsight.com. That's FRONTSIGHT.com, or like the front of your rifle, frontsight.com. No drill instructor attitude, no macho stuff. It's family, the biggest privately run, open to the public, firearms training course, two-day courses, four-day courses, five-day courses, year-round. Classes fill up quickly, so the fall is one of the best times to take classes, so check it out today. You can get a 5 days of world-class gun training at the Frontside Firearms Training Institute and secure a 30-state concealed weapons permit for about 75% off, and then get a free Springfield Armory XD pistol in the caliber of your choice. That's frontsight.com, ladies and gentlemen. Let's now go ahead and go to some of your calls. I'm a little bit exhausted. I was on Coast to Coast AM last night. Then I got wound up after being on, couldn't go to sleep for about 2 hours, and I got up early this morning, and so I'm kind of running out of gas here at the end of the show. But I was really fired up at the start of the show, covered so much key info, and we had so many important, powerful guest on today. If you missed the first, second, or third hour, that all starts restreaming in 15 minutes at Infowars.com. And I hope all of you tune in to hear that, because we have the exclusive Charlie Sheen reaching out to Obama, reaching out to 9/11 Truth, to everybody. It is a powerful video that we, Aaron Dykes, myself, Charlie Sheen, busted our butts to make. And I hope that you will watch it. And I'm asking the listeners to please spread this video out to everybody. We're risking our lives, our names, our treasure doing this, our families doing this. Please, this is having a huge effect. We want 9/11 Truth and the fact that we're not buying into the official hoax to be front and center. The feds are coming in, federalizing schooling with this 9/11 schooling, teaching them how Patriot Act's good, spying on your neighbors is good, Boy Scouts, public school kids, Girl Scouts to spy on their neighbors and their parents under Homeland Security and FEMA. It's all being announced. I mean, I can't even believe this is happening. That's all coming up. But right now, let's talk to WC in Texas. You're on the air, WC.
Hey, thanks, Mr. Jones, for taking my call. I'm a big fan of Mr. Tarpley as well. I wanted to point out one thing I've noticed on the Glenn Beck show. A lot of my research is in the esoteric and things hidden in plain view. If you, next time you tune in, or if you tune in on YouTube or whatever, when he's sitting at his desk on his left side, well, his left shoulder, so the right side of your screen, there is a plain as day big black triangle, and it's obvious what they're trying to say. And I've also checked into the fact that Glenn Beck is a high-ranking Mormon, and I'm not calling, you know, saying that they're bad, but that is should be taken into account. Are you there?
I'm listening, yeah.
Oh, yes, sir. Sorry. Anyway, I've been having phone issues.
I know. Listen, I know. Phones constantly are clicking and cutting out. And look, I don't. My show is not about bashing other talk show hosts because everybody else does it and destroys their shows. I like to be about positive solutions, attacking the real power structure, even going past Obama, going past Bush. But Beck is so disingenuous because with an O'Reilly, with a Matthews, you know they're bad. But I watched O'Reilly make his bones and get popular talking about the Illuminati, government drug dealing on Fox. And I remember 10 years ago when he was first on Fox for the O'Reilly Factor thinking, man, this guy's good. You know, back before I was more sophisticated and I learn more every day. The more I learn, the more I know I don't know. But the point is, so I learned what to recognize. And watching Beck, he is there to act silly at key points to discredit things. And nobody's perfect. And then to come out and say FEMA camps don't exist and to say he supported the banker bailout and to say he supports the Patriot Act. I mean, he just does. And to attack Ron Paul, and Ron Paul had a chance of winning. Then once Ron Paul was knocked out of the race, he then said he loved him. I mean, he's just a very, very, I mean, it's as obvious as a $3 bill that it's phony. And, but even when they tried to shut him down and censor him, though, I knew they were trying to set a precedent. I came out and defended him because they were using him to play that part. Glenn Beck is, you know, I'm not envious of how big he is, not envious of all the stress he has. I think the guy's very talented. He's a good actor. He's a funny guy. But he is a Benedict Arnold. He's a very sad person. And just like Obama is a fake. And the track record is fake. The fruits of the tree are knocking Ron Paul out, getting the banker bailout passed, supporting the Patriot Act, and I appreciate your call. I really don't watch a lot of Glenn Beck. I see kind of the clips of the nastier stuff he does. And then some stuff he does is good, but rat poison's 98% good food. Gary in Texas, go ahead.
Hi, Alex. How's it going, bud?
Good.
I just wanted to say that most Americans need to realize that the 9/11 truth, if it gets exposed, everything gets exposed. The elite gets exposed. And then once that gets exposed, it shows that the sponsored terrorism is true, and then you can trace that all the way back to the Federal Reserve taking over our country and bankrupting it.
That's it. Exactly. You expose government-sponsored terror or corporate or criminal-sponsored where they blame it on people, frame-ups, it's over for them.
Yeah, because 9/11, you can directly connect it to the elite people. And then that can be tracked through history.
Absolutely, my friend. God bless you. Anything else?
Everybody try to get the 9/11 information out. I don't think they can keep it from... They can't keep it a secret no more.
Absolutely. Let's just keep it going. Never surrender till we get justice. Final segment, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be back live tomorrow with Charlie Sheen live. Jesse Ventura is on the road shooting his TV show. He was scheduled to be on tomorrow, and that's up in the air because of flights and airplanes, but he's going to be on in the next few weeks regardless. I wanted to have him on with Charlie, but like that's something I got to work on when I get off air. But Charlie's live tomorrow, 9/11, huge show lined up for you. Retransmission starts here in just a few minutes. It was a key first hour today. Let's go ahead and talk to Tony in Ohio. Tony, go ahead. Okay, Tony's gone. Let's go to Jose in New York. Okay, let's go to John in New Mexico. John in New Mexico, you're on the air.
Hello, Alex. How are you, sir?
Good. Welcome.
I just want to say something before I prove my point. I'm a musician, and all the shows we have, we promote your material, hand out DVDs, all kinds of stuff. It's having a very positive outcome. The reason that I'm calling is I really appreciate what you and Charlie Sheen have fabricated with the whole 20 minutes of the president. I think that's an excellent info bomb. But something I saw that you guys might want to be aware of, I know you guys have been catching a lot of crap because of the disclaimer and the whole controversy.
Pardon me? What did the caller say? Yeah, I mean, is something going on with our phone system? I just dropped four callers. Call me back tomorrow, sir. I was all ears, and I don't know what's going on with the phone systems. A lot of crazy stuff going on. I'm sure that's just something with the Genesis phones. Who knows? I'm not going to try anymore because we're at the end of the show, and I just dropped. Was that three calls that didn't work in a row? He just stopped talking. Okay, whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to be distracted and diverted by the attacks on Sheen saying, oh, it's mean to the family members. The majority of the family members of the victims believe it's an inside job. They're on record. The murderers of these people use their names to push their agenda to kill 1,300,000 Iraqis and tens of thousands of Afghans. The reason U.S. forces are never going to leave Afghanistan until they're kicked out is because there's $500 billion in opium coming out, and the banks get to launder that money and fractionally reserve loan out at least 10 times $500 billion. 10 times $500 billion, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. Okay? That's why they're there, for the oil and the Unocol pipeline and for the opium, to ship that heroin into the streets of our country. And that's all that's happening, period. I am basically out of time here. I want to say great job to the crew. I want to say great job to everybody that is here in the office. I want to just really appreciate and thank Aaron Dykes for the great job he did. Great job to Jaron Neihardt, and, of course, to Paul Hartman and to Rob Dew, and to the entire crew that is here that make it all happen, the IT guys especially, trying to keep the servers up. The last few days, as we've had record traffic to Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. The traffic has subsided a little bit. We may be able to turn comments back on, but if it starts crashing it again, we may have to, or maybe restrict how many pages people can post to. It's just there's so much traffic on the site. When you got hundreds of thousands of people trying to make comments, it just kills the site. The Charlie Sheen video message of the president is up, is out there. It's at the top of the page on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Also want to thank our sponsors, Genesis Communications, all of our affiliates. Please support our local sponsors as well. Another just amazing show today, and I'll be back live in 20 hours on September 11th, the 8th anniversary of the false flag stage terror attacks. Now get out there and stand up against tyranny. God bless you all.